Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can back us on Patreon at patreon.com/Ragnarok.
All the cool people do.
Hey, listeners. Ryan here. If you want to chat with us, be sure to join us on our brand new Discord server. The link is available on our social media. So click the link and then press 3 to tell Eric to shut up.
We here at Ragnarok would like to thank the following patrons. Shadows.
Steve Ariza.
Michael Davis.
Steven Vest.
Brownie Davis.
Wee Willie Wilson.
Wheelchair Jim.
Savarik.
James Burns.
Boy Harkin.
Michael Drescher.
And several bats.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another... I didn't wait for anybody to answer. Welcome to another Ragnarok Actual Play.
I would answer if you want.
The thickness control allows you to slice deli meats as well as steaks and everything in between. I would say pie definitely falls between deli meats and steaks.
Did the pie slicing...
alphabetically, at least.
Did the pie slicing come in the pre-play, or does this... Is this not
I don't remember.
No, it was in the pre-play, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'll figure it out.
If you would like some context for that joke, increase your pledge to $10.
You know you do. You want to know why Alex wants to slice pie
with
the deli?
Quiet 150-watt boger.
True. Alex isn't the one who's going to
slice. No, I'm not good at slicing pie. I'm not good enough to do it.
So, doesn't have that pie slicing technique.
Nope.
Welcome to another Ragnarok Actual Play. Today we'll be playing Deniable, a game of unwitting spies. My name is Ed. I'll be the director of this episode.
Spies?
Yeah. This is episode 3 of Deniable. Why don't we introduce ourselves, starting with Ryan.
Let's do me last.
All right. Hey, everybody. I am Ryan.
Like the general population of the Earth, the opinion.
Tonight, I'm going to be portraying Miss Janet Alyssa Porters. Janet is the personal assistant to... what is his name? W. Prescott Williams, who is the vice president in charge of the...
You're going to get a meat slicer.
Sorry, Ryan.
Vice president in charge of the paperclip factory in Paris. She is married to Mike.
You're the vice president of my paperclip factory?
No, I'm the executive assistant to Mr. Williams. Yeah.
Got it. I didn't do it that time, Ryan.
No, you didn't.
I only almost did.
You still have a chance. Still have multiple chances.
He'll stand up a lot of times during this game, and God willing, he'll hit his head on that lamp one time. she's married to Mike. Mike is a CPA. He's cheating on his taxes. They have two lovely daughters. One of them is Mike's from a previous marriage, and she's brilliant. The other one
and
is...
Two lovely daughters, Nathaniel and Superfly.
Yeah. The other one is Janet's daughter, and she is terrible.
I mean,
so you lied earlier when you said you had two wonderful children or whatever you said.
She's not terrible.
Lovely.
She's just a black sheep rebel.
Right.
She behaves terribly.
She acts out for attention.
And that's Janet.
Croix.
Who's that?
I mispronounced your name.
Oh. All right. I'm Croix. And I'm playing Antonio Ravioli.
It's quite a mispronunciation. You added letters in there just to mispronounce it.
Antonio?
Shut up.
Finally, someone says my name right.
He was talking to me.
Yeah. I don't even think that had any of the right letters in it. There wasn't an "ah" sound in there at all.
he got the plebe.
I think there was an "l" and an "e."
Plebe. How's this recording going for you guys?
Right. Antonio Ravioli. And let's see. He has the... his job is as a honey farmer / salesman for the Ostrich Honey Company, of which he and his mother are the only two employees. He collects model trains, and his vice is cocaine.
Plebe.
I am Plebelix, and I am playing... Mr. Floyd David McTavish. He is a good old American man. His family includes his wife, Laura Smith McTavish, who was injured in a horrible accident, and her caretaker, Juanita. Floyd is the owner and operator of Floyd's Gas & Go here in Paris. His hobby is bowling with his team, the Freedom Rollers, His vice is good old American Budweiser, and you can usually see him wearing his Make America Great Again hat because he supports President Trump in his endeavors to make America great again and make the liberals cry.
Making only a brief appearance in this episode and a cutaway later is Will Walson, who it's not actually going to be Will, it's going to be me playing the character of Jamie Bartholomew Smith.
I think just walk in.
Who is a hipster. He's a barista at Starbucks, brews his own beer, he's addicted to social media, drives a Prius with a Bernie Sanders sticker on it, wears glasses, tight jeans, and has a man bun. And he has a talking dog named Mr. Pumpernickel.
You also buried the lead there.
He's got a wife named Adit. And
he does?
He is, mm-hmm. Yes. She was in the last episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Alex's nephew.
Yeah. Well, he's Floyd's nephew.
Floyd's nephew. And making a guest appearance in today's episode.
I was trying to remember the name you said. Corey Smith.
if Corey Smith is out there, I'm sorry if I ruined your life today when I called you.
Was that the real name?
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a generic enough name.
That's why I thought he picked it. I thought he made up a generic name.
No, it was really Corey Smith.
Wow.
All right, so I'm not Corey Smith. I'm, in fact, Eric.
And I'll Smith?
No. And I'll be playing Mr. Harold H. Glurney. He works in the paperclip factory. He does a lot of the bending of the paperclips. He feels very important in his job. His hobby is making paperclip statues. He does it on his own time, though. They would get mad if he did that on company time. And his vice is KFC's famous bowls.
Wait, did he perhaps make the... there's an Eiffel Tower made out of paperclips.
Oh, in the building's lobby, right?
Yeah.
It's out front, I think we said.
Oh, yeah, outside.
He took part in that.
Because it's covered in rust.
Right,
You might have taken part in it, but it was built in the 80s.
Ah.
Maybe that's what
inspired
you.
How old is he?
Crush my dreams, why don't you?
Yeah, how old is he?
He's like 40. 40-something. Yeah.
I mean, you probably...
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be... Maybe that's how he got the job. He was... hired as a child prodigy in the ways of teen prodigy.
That maybe it was the saddest life ever.
Maybe it was
you graduated.
Maybe it was a school project.
I graduated top of my class at paperclip school.
It was your dream to work at the paperclip factory.
He graduated
at Doogie Howser of bending paperclips.
He graduated high school at age 14 as the valedictorian and went on to become a paperclip bender.
No, he went to a special trade school for paperclipping.
Maybe it was a school project.
Kids, don't let your dreams stay dreams.
Maybe the paperclip
them to other dreams.
The Eiffel Tower was a school like project.
It was a gift of Paris middle school.
Yeah.
Or maybe you made a little one and you gave it to the president of the company and he had it made in large scale.
I mean, I like the idea that it's this big thing that was put together by school children. And now it's just become this like
just left
horrible rusted edifice.
It's probably like tilted a little bit.
Yeah,
it's like the
it's starting
tower
to come apart.
It's a metaphor for the town.
Yeah,
it's the Leaning Tower of Eiffel.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do a previously on. Eric, what do you remember from last week?
I was Friday night. I was playing mini golf. I got a hole in one.
Ooh,
on
nice.
The 17th hole.
Oh, on the 7th, not the 18th?
No, not the 18th
Dang,
hole.
Yeah, so close.
My family didn't want to keep score for some reason.
What?
I don't know. They said, let's not keep score. Let's just play for fun. Oh, my God, I guess. So I have no idea who won, and then we tried to go to Anderson's for ice cream, but it was closed.
Okay.
That doesn't sound very fun.
Ryan, what do you remember from last week?
I don't know.
Last Friday I was in Indianapolis. We went to Gen Con all day. It was a lot of fun. And Drunk Ross Payton told me that he loves
me.
Ragnarok.
What do you guys remember from what do you remember from last game?
Thank you, Ross Payton.
Yeah. I hope he meant it.
I think he did.
What did he say?
He said he loves Ragnarok.
Oh, nice.
That's an official endorsement, too. We should make a sticker. Drunk Ross Payton approved. Like, put it right on our homepage.
Okay, so last time we were trying to hunt down a drug supplier who was trying to sell Menace an incredibly addictive substance.
Right, it was a substance that made you addicted to other things.
It was called Gimme.
Right.
So whatever you added it to, the person would become...
We thought pharmaceutical bro Tiberius McScapehorde was going to be selling it to them.
So the first scene is... the first scene of the
giant spaghetto was the first scene.
So
that's just how spaghetto is.
That's what spaghetti.
The first scene of the
I want a giant.
The cold of the previously on are the annoying teens peeling into the parking lot of the Flender Sanderbergs.
stupid name.
And torturing their friend Mike. Who doses them with Gimme. And then it's them, like, turning on the manager.
They gorge themselves on spaghetti.
Gorging
and then
themselves,
they ate the manager.
And
one of them ate their own leg.
The girl stuck her head into the fryer. So that's the first part of it.
I think everyone died except the one that ate his leg, if I remember correctly.
No.
Previously, undeniable.
When it was stopping high,
what do you
I'm sure
remember?
It was hopping mad. Fucking nailed.
I remember the spaghetti mostly. There was the Morningstar and Baron Overbite. Something Overbite? Baron Underbite is
Uberbite.
The other one. Uberbite. There it is. We're guarding that casino that they were in for the drug deal.
In Atlantic City. Oh, no, it wasn't Atlantic City.
No, it was in the middle of the desert.
It was called Dunes.
But they did have a boardwalk.
Oh, yeah, they had the boardwalk on the dunes.
The dune walk. it's a shot of Baron Uberbite, of Morningstar dragging that cheater into the back room of the casino under the orders of Baron Uberbite. Boris Kovalchuk ordering them to meet with the drug dealer to pick up the drugs. What do you remember, Alex?
So we got into town on a bus driven by a pretty cool guy named Phil.
Earl,
whatever.
he was pretty cool.
And we were sent there because we thought the drug dealer was going to be Mr. Tiberius McScapehorde. So we infiltrate. Sorry, I'm putting my desk back. We infiltrated a party, a lavish party that he was throwing on the top floor.
I believe we played $50 a head.
I never said it was a good infiltration. a lavish party that he was throwing on the top floor. Where there, Floyd ran into Earl, who then left. And
to go to the bar
across the street
with a
lady boob
was it lady boobs or lady tits?
I wanted to say lady tits. I think it was lady boobs though.
Yeah, where the bartender had lady boobs.
Yeah.
And so Janet seduced Tiberius McScapehorde.
Gave him pink eye.
Well, she knocked him out with some drugged lipstick. And then he had eyedroppers that we thought were full of drugs.
Right, he was using them the whole time.
Right. Turns out it was just eyedrops. But she did pour them out and replace them with toilet water.
Oh. And
he did not have the drugs.
And then Baron Uberbite. Right after that happened, Janet overheard Baron Uberbite talking about how the drug dealer never showed up and he had to spend the whole night with that idiot McScapehorde.
Yep.
And realized that you guys were after the wrong guy.
Oh, also, Floyd started a fight on the casino floor as a distraction.
Yes, Floyd and...
Morningstar.
Floyd tried to take... started a fight when he tried to take Grace's nickels. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you knew this, Eric. Chris's mother is a little
Grace
old Italian
Radioli.
Lady who wears a black wig named Grace.
God damn it.
Oh, yeah.
It's with love.
I know.
It's with love. Anyway.
Except for the gambling addiction.
Except for the gambling addiction.
She did like to go to Atlantic City.
Oh. Wow, that was more accurate than we realized.
Yeah. So when you tried to take her nickels, she threw a fit.
Did she burn me with her cigarette?
Yeah, she burned you with her cigarette. At some point, she has to shove a coat hanger down somebody's throat.
Probably stops the gym.
And tell them to stop blinking.
It's Eric's grandma, ladies and gentlemen. May she rest in peace. Yeah, so when you tried to steal her nickels, she burned you with a cigarette, and the security came. You started a brawl with them, and it got so out of hand that Morningstar himself came down.
Yep.
And you you duped it out. You had a pretty awesome fight.
Yep.
And you came out on top when you used your shock gloves to knock him across the room.
Yep.
And that cherubic blonde young man stared at you lovingly from across the room.
And I didn't have to waste them on acid.
Will fought the other guy, right?
Sort of. Will made a very feeble attempt to distract him, and then when it didn't work, he threw his drink at him, and the guy threw him across
the room.
And Uberbite threw him across the room. Yeah. It worked. It distracted him, but it won't. Yeah.
And while the two of them were doing that, the three of them, really, they all did something. Antonio sold a jar of honey.
It's true.
A jar of honey.
Yes, one.
So once you guys realized, who remembers what you guys did once you realized Mick Skateboard wasn't the drug dealer?
Went across the street.
Do you remember where you went?
We went to the bar with the lady.
No, because you didn't know who the drug dealer was.
Lunges Sanderberg.
You went across the street to Pete's All You Can Eat 10 Meat Ben.
Right.
That's right.
Where you overheard some ladies talking about how Earl is a new bus driver and he's never been to Dune City before. And then realizing he might be the target, you headed to Dunes to confront the bad guy.
Right. And he had taken Grace hostage.
Was very good.
What? Yeah.
Grandma
hostage. He had taken Grace hostage and drugged everyone at the bar with Gimme. And Floyd tried to talk to him for a bit as a distraction.
We realized that he was drugging all of the young people.
Right, yeah. Because he hated hated the millennials.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Eric. He's a millennial.
I forget. Did I fight him, too? I forget
how we... 2 months before you. So, you guys had a fight.
Yeah.
You guys had a fight. And then what happened was he had a gun on you, and you tried... you guys had a fight, but he took a shot at Jane before you managed to hit him.
Right, and what's his face? My nephew jumped and took the bullet.
Yes, Jamie took the bullet. And then just as...
they took the bullet. Oh, those millennials always wanting their handouts.
Just as Earl...
Oh, just give me free gunshot wounds.
Just as Earl was about to get a killing blow on you, Grace whacked him in the head
with her purse full
with
of
her purse full of nickels.
Oh, no, it was... because...
Wasn't it a bucket full of nickels?
No, during the fight... We in the casino, we hit some of the machines and they all started spilling coins out.
So she had a purse full of nickels and she whacked him in the head with it and knocked him out.
Mm-hmm.
He was arrested and you guys headed home to be debriefed by Dr. Esquizili. And then in the final scene, angry at their failure, what's his name?
Tommy Wiseau.
Boris had Natasha, who has been resurrected
by Boris and Natasha. Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Boris had cybernetic Natasha, who's been resurrected by Dr. Nakanomura, decapitate Morningstar and Uberbite.
They were also decaffeinated. The caffeine sprayed out the top of them along with all their blood.
That's
what
true.
A waste.
All right, so the cold open for this episode. I'm picturing Madame Mutado is they're at the military compound, and Madame Mutado is.
Wait, what's the military compound?
Her compound where she.
I thought it was rural.
It's a
farmstead.
Right, it's a rural. It's a rural.
It could still be a military.
Yeah,
compound.
Yeah.
It's just a rural military
right.
compound.
It's like a rural homestead. I'm picturing it like a militia, like one of those militias.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's kind of like just like a farm.
I'm also picturing cornfields that's
right. pull apart on a giant metal plate, and then rockets come out.
Also, it's underwater.
Let's flesh it out.
It is underwater.
Let's flesh it out. So I'm picturing
torpedoes come out.
I'm picturing there's like, you know, silos and
a barn set up.
There's a barn set up. You know, there's like a weapon shed.
Oh my God! Are we gonna have underwater hillbillies?
Have we established it previously in the game that it's underwater, or is that just our free thing?
No, that's
that
was just our free
thing. Alright, so I was picturing, like, it's zooming out, you see all the typical farm stuff, and then just a squid.
Well, I was imagining that was going to be at the end of the scene.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
What are you doing here?
No, I think that's a great idea, but I'm picturing that at the end of the scene, like, at the very end of the scene, it pulls back.
I think
back.
It's a stupid idea, and a shark should swim past.
Oh. So,
Yes.
So right now they're in, I would say they're like in the house.
Are they with a rural juror?
In the rural juror. Where would Madam Ryan, where would Madam Mutato host Boris? Where would she have her?
Where any respectable farm hand or farm maiden would host a guest in her front parlor.
Okay, so they're in the front parlor. She's standing there, stone faced, and a vase goes sailing by her head, and she just kind of moves to the side ever so slightly without reacting to it.
It was.
And you hear?
Yeah! Why everybody betray me?
Boris, darling, you really must calm down.
I cannot! They fail me. Everybody fail me. That Dr. Sludge, he's a traitor. And now Uberbite and Morningstar, they make me kill them, huh?
And you dealt with them all handily, which is why you've come to me. You've come back to... Well, I hate to say it, but the one who started it all, our entire serial enterprise. Because I'm the reliable one.
You are. You're like my best friend.
That is very, very touching of you to say.
Boris?
Yes. I can always rely on you, huh?
You know you can.
So.
This is football.
I expect a demonstration. I want to see these corn men in action.
Of course, without Sludge buttering them up, we've made enormous strides with training them before they could devour each other.
But they still are delicious, right?
Yes, they are quite delicious.
Show me, I want to see how they can kill people and be delicious at the same time.
Okay, very well.
Eric, I don't know if you remember, but this is kind of, it works like a fiasco. If you wanted to, like, jump in as a farmhand, like, if anybody wants to add anything to the scene, you can add something to the scene. All right, sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
She picks up, like, a little receiver. Yes, Jeremy, would you bring in one of the blue group subjects?
Somebody want to be Jeremy?
I'm trying to find the song that's going to be playing when we transition.
I want to be the corn.
Okay. So, Eric, why don't? So Jeremy is like a farmhand. So who is Jeremy?
Jeremy is a farmhand.
Okay. So, describe how. So he's bringing in Chris.
He's a lanky fella.
Yeah.
Kind of a messy mop of hair.
I think I know what he's doing.
You do?
Me? So far.
Okay, let's go with it. I was just fucking saying shit. He's got glasses, and once he left, it's someone whose name is Corey Smith. Alright, so yeah, he pulls, Jerry walks in, pulling the cart with one of the corn soldiers. Or should we have two corn soldiers? Because we have to also...
I think they should be on a leash. They probably walk on their own.
I kind of feel like they shouldn't necessarily be. Maybe they're in a box. Like,
could they be wheeled in like Hannibal Lecter?
Sure, but I'm picturing like I'm picturing that like there's like a drape or something, like something over it,
like and a birdcage.
Yeah, and it's just but it's not like it's a birdcage, but the bars are like very thick and you can't really see what's inside. Kind of like in the beginning of Jurassic Park with that box.
Yeah.
The velociraptor.
I was just saying like a birdcage because you drape a thing over the birdcage right. when you want to sleep.
Oh, okay. So right, it's just rattling and rocking.
In that case, Jeremy wheels that in.
Yes, I do.
And,
that's correct. I agree.
Madam Mutato says, thank you, Jeremy. Close the door.
Of course, ma'am.
Not sure.
Do I have to be inside the house, the room, or out of it?
Inside.
Sounds just like Ed.
It does.
I was being the squeaky voice teen.
I know. It sounds just like Ed.
All right. I know. Okay.
All right. You've worked here for, what, a couple of months now, right, Jeremy?
It's been the greatest time of my life, ma'am.
Would you say you've been satisfied with the experience?
Oh, incredibly so. How can I not be?
That pains me to say, Jeremy, but I'm going to have to ask you to step in front of the cage.
All right, so for how long? And then when do I get to leave?
Just stand there and look at that painting over there. Tell me how many objects you see in this.
The painting is a picture of a corn man devouring.
I'm not so sure this is a good idea.
It's even a corn man leaping out of a box. That's a factor.
I'm told that these corn monsters
there's a picture of that in the corner.
Very dangerous.
Don't you worry about it, Jeremy. Just focus on the painting. And she walks over and she
pulls get a bonus?
She pulls the pin out of the lock on the cage.
What was that sound?
Don't worry about it.
There's just a flash of blue. I feel like we shouldn't necessarily reveal them yet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I feel like there's just a flash of... Because you said blue, so I'm imagining it's blue corn.
Do I get hazard pay?
There's just a flash of blue and glistening fangs. You just see, like, you can see, like, the outline of a mouth.
That's just too big.
That's way too big. And just teeth. Just, like, sharp fangs. And then they just... And then it's just from Jeremy's point of view. And then there's just a snap.
And then Jeremy's just legs.
And then it cuts to Mad Mutato and Boris, and they're just spattered with gore from off camera.
And there's a loud chewing noise.
Sir Burr and Russ just start lapping it up.
I hope this doesn't reflect poorly in my review.
I didn't say that because I'm dead.
You see, they take to it quite enthusiastically.
They ate him. What's funny in it? That was so funny.
A little, a bit of husk comes like crawling out of the bottom of the cage. It wraps around its ankle and pulls the legs in. And then there's more rattling and chewing.
That's very good. You have outdone yourself, Madam Mutato.
Thank you, Boris. I appreciate the compliment.
What a good doggy.
And he picks up a piece of Jeremy off of the floor and like flicks it to Server and Russ.
Thanks, Boris. You're my favorite notorious bad guy.
All right. I'm going to go back to the surface. I expect an army of these by the end of the week. Okay?
And you'll have it.
And remember, you're my best friend.
I know. I love you. Not in a weird way, just in a platonic way.
I just hope you don't fail me.
If people loved each other, the world would be a better place.
Yeah, if people loved each other, the world would be a better place. And everybody could eat many cereal.
I'm Boris leaving by getting into a little tube and then just getting shot up in a torpedo.
So he sits in an armchair.
Madam.
He sits down in an armchair. Well then, I'll see you later, huh? And remember, don't fail me. And he pushes a button on the armchair, and like you said, he gets encapsulated
in a torpedo,
and he just gets launched up And as the camera kind of follows him up, it's like what Eric said before. It just pulls back, and you see this big rural farmstead, and you see the silos, and you see in the distance, you see fields of corn, and like you kind of see silhouettes of corn men, like, you know, fighting each other and sparring. And then it just pulls back and back and back, and it pulls beyond the dome, and you just see that it's an underwater compound.
And a shark swims by.
Squid.
A squid swims by, and then a shark eats it.
All right, I'm satisfied. And then Madame Mitalo's
mom walks
in. Just
like my idea, he ate Eric's inferior idea.
Madame Mitalo's mom walks in. Are you sure about Boris? Did you get the promotion yet?
And then, the theme music starts.
I definitely have breast cancer.
Did you find it?
Oh, it's American Woman. And it's gonna... we can't play it.
Yes.
Oh, it's... Oh, you mean it's playing during...
So it's like playing as Boris ascends.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the screen goes black with the title. And it comes back on... Ryan, what's your Freedom Roller's name?
I think it was Ethel.
Ethel.
Since we can't...
Like, holding her ball, just getting ready to...
Since we can't play it, let's sing it. But... strategically change a note so that it's not the same thing. American Woman, stay away from me.
American Woman, mama let me be. Perfect.
Yeah.
Don't come a knocking around my door. So yeah, we see You have the American flag ball, right?
Oh, yes.
Well, the first scene isn't going to be the Freedom Roller scene. The first scene is going to be introducing Eric's character.
Boo! Well, then that song's not playing. I did all that work for nothing.
You can still
wait,
play
the theme song
is Fortunate Son.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Doodly, deedly bee.
You do?
They make you pout.
One song, small one, some as big as your head.
Don't touch me. Introduce Eric if he's so important to you.
Can I have the coconut that's the size of my head? Okay. I like coconuts.
All right, so unfortunate son. Fortunate Son plays, and the credits roll.
Thank you.
As the credits come to a close. We open up on a all-American household.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, describe Harold's house.
Harold's house is kept in very neat order because, you know, he's got a lot of time on his hands while he's home because he doesn't have any family.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that he didn't have any family, right?
Yeah. Is that because he's so unlovable?
No, everyone likes him at the factory.
It's because the rest of his family ate so many famous bowls that they've had heart attacks.
So yeah, the credit, the right at the end of it says 2000. It's 2001. So this is Harold 18 years ago. So he's, you know,
18 years younger.
17 years ago.
17 years ago.
17 years younger.
But, so, basically, I imagine he's been doing the same thing for the past 18 years.
His routine is exactly the same the whole time, except he's just gotten older, fatter, and bolder.
So, describe his routine, because what I'm picturing is it says 2001, and then it shows him waking up in his house and going through his morning routine.
Well, it should just be a little timer, kind of, at the bottom. It just keeps switching the years.
Yeah.
But it's just one day as it goes.
There's an important thing I need to know first. I have to know when the KFC's famous bowl was introduced.
About 2001.
Yeah, you get really happy after that. I wonder.
I can't... 2006, I think.
Okay, so let's just say it's 2006.
All right. So basically, he wakes up. He, he's very expedient about getting washed, dressed... hairbrushed until the later years. Getting out, he'll usually have a stop at KFC on the way for breakfast. I imagine they don't do the bowls in the morning.
I don't think KFC's open for breakfast.
Yeah,
yeah, probably not.
And there are so many holes in the scene.
You pick one.
Well, he'll have a regular breakfast.
You pick one on the way home.
Bowl. Yeah.
Maybe you microwave a bowl that you bought last night.
What meal do you eat for breakfast every morning?
one soft bagel with only butter on it.
Yeah.
Could
have had a Jimmy Dean bowl.
So it shows you're waking up in the morning. It's just like a shot of you, like, you know, waking up in your pajamas, yawning, you brushing your teeth, you pouring a cup of coffee. You walk up to the counter at the bagel store, and you're like, "All one salt bagel, only." And then the guy behind the counter goes, "Only butter."
You know it.
What happens next?
I eat it.
You just lick all the salt off and throw it away.
So you're sitting in your car driving, eating the bagel.
Yeah, eating the bagel.
Yeah, licking.
Drinking my coffee.
You're listening to like a ridiculous morning radio show, and you know, the guy in the radio is like, you know, "Tissue, I hardly even know you." And Harold's just like,
"That's Zanzibar in the morning. That's the name of the radio show you're listening to."
Sure. Tissue. Every time.
You get to work at the paperclip factory. You walk in, you punch in, you walk by your boss, Richie, who's kind of a short, chubby guy with chestnut hair and, you know, button down shirt and a tie. Ready for some bending today, Harry?
Hair on his chest and his nuts.
Oh, you know it. Looking forward to it.
What's the next shot in the montage?
I figure, you know, I'm staying there. I'm, you know, kind of smiling to myself and bending while workers next to me, behind me, are all looking not, like, just disinterested, some of them complaining to each other, just, like, looking unhappy, but I'm, like, a happy ray of sunshine in the middle.
Enraptured, I think, is the word you want. You're enraptured with your job.
Yes.
All right, so, and then you're leaving, and Richie goes, "How is the bending today, Harry?"
Couldn't be better. Every single day is better than the last.
I feel like as we go through the his day of bending, like, it pushes in on him. Or maybe the frame pulls out, and at first, like, the room is full of people, but then all of his coworkers are either, like, laid off or fired as we go through the years. And so by the end of it, he's just, like, on the shift by himself.
Right. So, yeah, what I picture is that,
he also puts in an extra 2 hours a night just because he loves it.
So I feel like the last shot of the montage is you driving home, getting a Famous Bowl, sitting there in front of the TV, watching whatever show was famous and was the most famous show in 2006. And then the next shot is you waking up and it says, like,
no, wait, he's watching Kentucky Fried Movie. every night.
Then the next shot is, it says, like, 2010, and it's you waking up, and
this is confusing.
What?
I put in the most popular TV series released 2006 January 1st to 2006 December 31st. The first one listed is The Big Bang Theory, starts in 2007.
That's all what right. You were watching.
It was so popular, it reverberated backwards.
So you're sitting there watching The Big Bang Theory.
I want to watch 30 Rock.
Okay, so you're sitting there watching 30 Rock. No, I think 30 Rock is too good and interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be a show like
Big Eureka. Bang Theory. I don't know what it is.
No, Eureka was a good show.
No, you wouldn't like it.
What about So You Think You Can Dance? Was that on?
Yeah, sure.
Survivor. Survivor was definitely on.
Yeah, Survivor's always
okay,
on.
Okay, so he's watching Survivor. And then the next shot, and then, like Ryan says, it's like, it's just...
Is Survivor still
the
on?
The next shot is 2010, and it's you waking up.
John Morrison from WWE is going to be on season very soon.
And the shots kind of speed up, and, you know, again, you walk by the bagel. You know, salt bagel, no, only butter. And then you're in the car, the guy, and you're listening to Zanzibar. Wrecked him, damn near killed him.
I get it.
And then, you know, but each shot just gets faster and faster. And then, like Ryan says, it's you, you know.
Great day at work today.
Finally.
Couldn't be happier. If I was any happier, I'd have to be twins to handle it.
Finally, it just, like, at the end of the montage, you're enraptured in your work as people are just zipping past you. And like Ryan said, as the years start to tick away, people just start to vanish and disappear. And now you're the only one in the paperclip factory. And the montage ends.
Maybe they should just all be getting replaced with machines as it goes on.
Yeah. I like that too. Yeah. There's just robotic arms.
Yeah. Just you and robotic arms.
He's just sitting there pressing a button.
It should end with him getting laid off.
I like it. And then the montage ends, and
we got a button pushing robot to do your job.
And the scene is let's say that every morning began with the alarm going off and you waking up.
Right.
You're in bed and the alarm is going off and you're sleeping through it. And then it just cuts to the next part of you, like, waking up, like, in a panic because you overslept through your alarm.
Right.
So what do you do?
Get a salt bagel.
Yeah, I quickly get myself out of bed. This is it. I'm still at the job?
No. So you haven't been laid off yet. Okay. So you wake up.
I'm in a rush. I decided to get a plain bagel this time. The salt took a little too long.
I'm imagining more
plain bagel. What's ready? Plain bagel.
I imagine, like, you go up, you go to brush your teeth, the toothpaste is empty. Mm-hmm. You walk up, you ask for a salt bagel, and
all we got's everything.
We're out of salt bagels, Harry. All we got's everything.
All right, I guess I'll just
take
try
all the rest of it off.
Yeah, I'll just pick off everything but the salt. And, Dan, this thing, we're out of butter. We got cream cheese.
I'll just do the bagel without.
But you know what? I'll get a pretzel.
It's olive pinto cream cheese.
And then it's just you in the car. We're sad. We at WKPH are sad to report the death of Zanzibar.
Oh. Is this supposed to be Eric's character becoming the Joker? Like
James Zanzibar Smith.
James Zanzibar Smith died this morning.
Or Grimy, as he liked to be called.
And then it's just you punching in and walking in, and Richie standing there. Oh, Harry. Hi.
Morning, Richie. How's it going today?
Good. Why don't you come on, take a load off.
I'm all anxious to get ready. Get right to my bending.
Yeah. Well, about that. See, I don't know if you've noticed, but there have been some big changes around here.
Yeah, we have done with a different grade.
Well, I'm referring more to the manpower that we have around here, the staffing.
Oh.
The personnel changes.
The personnel changes.
It has gotten a lot quieter in the old mill, the old conveyor belt.
Well, that's because, noticeably louder.
You know, these machines, these confangled machines are just much better at bending paperclips than most humans could be. And well up until recently, there's only been one human on the planet that could bend a paperclip better than a machine. That was you.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
But the Benderoo 5000, it's rolling off the factory floor this morning.
Is Eric's character going to have some sort of John Henry competition with a paperclip bending machine?
Fuck whatever Ed had planned. I want to play through that.
We just go out and straighten a bunch of paperclips and see how fast Eric can actually re-paperclip them.
I need a bale of steel wire right now.
But, you know, I know the machines are... pretty good, pretty darn good at that bending thing. But you know, they don't bend with the kind of heart that that a real human bender does.
Yeah, well, I know that, but you know, the people upstairs, they're insisting on eliminating all personnel at the paperclip bending factory.
Is that so?
Yeah, all benders. I mean, the custodial staff will still be here. The factory, the warehouse workers, they still have their jobs. I do, of course. But everybody else who works on the factory floor, anybody who remains on the factory floor, is considered superfluous.
Super fabulous.
Super, yeah.
Extra.
Extra.
But Richie, I've worked here for, what would we say, 2006?
Yeah.
For 12 years. This is my life. You've been here with me the whole time. I'm your kid's godfather.
Yeah.
You just point at the wall and go, look, 12 years worth of employees of the month that I got it every time.
Yeah. You've been the only employee for the past 3 years, but... Well, I wish you luck, my friend.
Thank you for the opportunity, then. I guess so. See you around. This is quite a bend we've taken in life.
So, I shouldn't say that.
Can I just take a box of wire to bend at home?
Just for practice for the next.
That's gotta stay here.
I'm afraid that's company property. Can't leave the facility or anything like that.
Right. Well, good luck then with managing.
With managing no one.
Should I still come to Harry's bar mitzvah?
Yeah, we'd love to have you. Sure, come on. Why not?
All right. I'll see you there. Do I finish my shift, or do I just...
It should just cut to you at a bar mitzvah with a week's worth of beard, red eyes that are crusted over, snot hanging out of your nose. Mashed potato stains all over your shirt.
Why don't we bring Jane into the scene, because she might go to the bar mitzvah too, because she works...
I accidentally made his name Harry, like mine. That's even more, that's even better.
Your name's not Harry. Oh, the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Glurney. What's
Jane's last name?
Miss Porters.
Oh, hey, Miss Porters. It's been a while.
Been a while.
It's
been 3 days. How did you get so much beard?
How have you been?
Oh, you know, just getting along.
There's a spork stuck in your beard.
Oh, how did that? Hold on 1 second. These things are so. They got the like little 45-degree bend right there, and where the fork tines come. Let me put this away. Yes, I'll use it later.
It's very precise.
Yes.
Have you been bending your hair into a paperclip shape?
Oh, you know what? I thought it would look nice. You know, I'm glad you noticed. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. Wow. See, twist right around this way. You gotta cover all the. Oh, you gotta make it less sun on the old cranium. It's good thing it's not too hot. It would make a weird tan line.
You should be wearing a necklace made out of paper clips.
I noticed that you also bent your silverware into paper clips.
Oh, look at that. I didn't notice.
What phenomenal hand strength.
Anyway,
I just came by to make sure that you landed on your feet. I was
glad to see
it. I'm glad to see that you're doing well. I was so heartbroken and crestfallen to hear about Mr. Williams's plan to, you know, mechanize and replace the staff.
Did you know that the hardware stores usually don't like it when you open the boxes right there and fit the bags? Wait,
I just have an idea. Harold goes, well, some might say that machines can never replace man, and then you just hear from the dais, I am just so proud to introduce the man who's going to be reading the Torah with my son Harry, the Bendero 5000. And it's just this, like, clawed machine sitting next to, like, a 12-year-old boy.
It should actually just be, like, a box that has wire going in one side.
I'm so happy to be here when Harry becomes a man.
And he just starts, like, robotically singing that like, Hebrew prayer that they sing when they're at their bar mitzvah.
I practiced the chas for weeks. Well...
Wow. He really got crazy.
He rags in for weeks.
I'm sure old Harry will be happy to grow into the man that his robot is. Did you know that the hardware store doesn't like it when you open the bag?
Yeah, Harold, I know. So listen, what have you been up to since you lost your job at the factory?
No, I'm home.
I'm learning to make my own salt bagels.
The next thing that I want to do... you're about to tell her what you're doing, and then Ryan, your cell phone rings. Janet's cell phone rings.
Excuse me, it's Penbot 5000.
Oh, well, I'll let you take that.
I've got it. So, I've been at home working on my resume, and it just cuts to you in front of a computer, and you're sobbing your eyes out. And then it cuts to the computer screen, and Clippy is there. It looks like he's trying to write a resume.
Somehow he still has Windows 95.
I will remember you. You remember me.
Gently tracing the screen with my fingers. And then it just cuts back to you and your cell phone is ringing.
Right. Anyway,
Eric's resume is hilarious.
I had to take this. I'm sorry, Harold.
All right. Good luck with your phone call.
Hello?
As she's walking away... you notice that she drops a
paperclip.
No, when she pulls her phone out of her pocket, you notice something falls out of her pocket, and it's a business card for the Paris Lanes, and it says if you're looking for fulfillment in life, join a bowling team. Special meeting tonight, 8 p.m.
No, if you're looking for meaning in life, give bowling a roll.
Yeah, give bowling a roll. Special meeting tonight at 8 p.m.
When Janet answers her phone, it's not actually ringing. It's just an alarm that she set that says, get out of jail before you.
Dropped this car. She probably should have had it attached to wherever she had it. I think we're going to go bowling.
All of a sudden you hear, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and Harry is sitting on a chair, and the Bendoru 5000 is just lifting the chair up. And everybody's around it, like...
My nephew's a man!
So it cuts to you in the parking lot, Janet, and you're on the phone with Mr. Prescott.
Wait, the parking lot of his house?
Yeah.
No, they're the.
We're at like a
oh, the synagogue. Yeah. Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Or a synagogue. Yeah.
Most people don't have.
I was only half paying attention. I thought it was at his house.
No, it was a bar mitzvah. Most people don't have bar mitzvahs at their house.
Well, he's a paperclip manager, Ed. He could be rich.
Anyway, so. You're you're in the parking lot. Mr. Prescott is like, I need you to get here right away, Janet. There's a detective here. She has some questions about a missing truck.
Oh, okay, Mr. Williams, I'll be right there.
Well, it's not missing. It was burned.
Yeah, right. She about that truck that got burned. She has Harvey. She's asking him questions. He seems pretty rattled.
Nope.
Don't worry, Mr. Williams. I'll get down there right away.
Actually,
I'll take care of
down
it.
This crossword puzzle.
Oh my God! I'll be right there.
Yeah. He actually put down his crossword puzzle.
Oh my God! So in that case, Janet excuses herself and
right. Okay, so it just cuts to the next scene. You walk into Harold's office. You walk into not Harold, into Prescott, Mr. Prescott's office. And sitting there is Mr. Prescott, Harvey, and a woman who you've never met before. She's she looks like she might be a Korean woman. Short black hair. She's in
Korean. In a suit. She speaks a dialect of Chinese.
Yeah. She's in a you know a suit. You must be Janet Porters.
Yes, I'm Miss Porters. I don't believe I've had the pleasure.
Detective Alice Nguyen, Paris PD.
Detective Nguyen, pleasure to meet you. Anything you need, the Paris Paperclip Company is here to assist you.
Yes, please, have a seat. If anybody wants to jump in as Harvey and Mr. Prescott, feel free. So we were just discussing we're discussing the truck that went missing. Now, Mr. Daniels, you're the foreman, is that correct?
Yep.
And you have no idea how the truck went missing.
He looks at Janet.
Janet like gives you a pointed look.
Nope.
You were on duty that night, is that correct?
Yes.
And the truck just disappeared.
Someone probably took it.
And you didn't notice it?
Nope.
No muffler.
Why do you keep looking at Miss Porters?
It is an unfortunate consequence of our drive to mechanize the shop. Fewer humans on duty, and they do have needs. I'm sorry, what was Harvey's last name?
I don't know. Don't ask me.
I forgot what I said.
You said
Daniels?
Daniels. Mr. Daniels, the tapes clearly show that Mr. Daniels went to the restroom, and the truck was missing when he returned.
I had tacos for lunch.
So I guess that would be what? Social or slide?
It was Taco Tuesday.
He's Harvey is Stanley from the office.
Eric doesn't know that.
I know Stanley.
Oh. I got a 5.
Nice.
So I'm gonna spend I can't spend a cred now, can I? Or
I don't see why not.
All right.
Again, of Stanley.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you can spend a cred. You can have something from. I mean, basically what that would represent is part of the money that they pay you. You use that to buy some gear.
Okay.
And now now in the next mission they're going to give you less because
your bag will be lighter.
All right. So how do I make this a more convincing lie, or at least distract her from...
You put on a pair of glasses, and each lens is a little swirling, hypnotizing.
Maybe it's some sort of like ocular implant that that prevents like micro expressions that people give, you know, when they're lying. What are they called? Okay. You know,
Micro expressions. You're they right. are is micro right? expressions. Yeah. So. I Janet like hits a switch on the side of her glasses, and there's this weird like electrical buzzing sound, and her face just goes like perfectly taut for a moment. And then
it's just pulling the skin back.
And then the corners of her mouth like upturn in a forced smile.
Okay, so the drawback of that is she's going to believe you, but she's going to notice that your face is weird. Are you all right?
I'm fine.
Got stung by a bee.
Yeah, I was just at a bar mitzvah, and I think I'm having an allergic reaction to something in the roast beef.
I see. Well, Mr. Prescott has filled out the police report. I don't really have any further questions. If you learn anything else, please let me know.
Oh yes, we'll be sure to be in touch. It's always our intention to cooperate with the authorities here.
Yes.
So weird.
And I do hope you get those allergies looked at.
Yes, it's very painful. I have to go find my EpiPen. Excuse me.
Excuse me, I'm going to go to the emergency room now.
So, Janet gets up and you walk out.
She just, like, reaches up and touches that switch again, and
face action whips forward.
Oh, they didn't say that was going to be that painful.
And just for effect, the scene will end. It just cuts to Detective Nguyen. She gets on the elevator. She kind of smiles at you. The doors close, but the shot is her in the elevator, and she just takes out her phone. She takes out like a dictaphone.
You said to.
Hey. And she says. All right, well, so far, no more information on the truck. Something weird about this Porter's woman. I'm going to need to keep my eye on her.
Oh, good. Don't let her around any beef.
And then she just clicks off the dictaphone as the scene cuts away.
Something weird about her. No one's allergic to beef.
That's not true. You can be.
So that's just a little nugget bite. That may come back later.
Yeah, because it was a mixed success.
It was a mixed success. So...
Success.
All right. As she gets off the elevator, American Woman starts to play, and then it cuts to the bowling alley.
Oh, okay. What should have been the intro, but whatever.
Damn, I guess that was really unlike my scene.
It cuts to the outside the bowling alley.
It was just super impressive.
And there is, because we haven't brought this in yet, and I like this, there's just, like, a group of chameleons that are, like, running across the street.
Oh, right, it's infested by the city. It's infested by lizards.
They're running across the street.
Oh, can they be the little lizards that run across on 2 feet?
Sure.
That, like, run across water? Yeah.
So they're just running across the street, and Stan is looking out the window.
What are those lizards? I'm going to find out.
They're, like, the fringe. I know they have that
fringe.
Maybe
fringe lizard. Yeah, let's see. Oh, go ahead. I'll tell you when I find it.
Stan is just staring out the window at them. Mayor's got to do something about those pests. And he just sprays the window and starts wiping it down, and the camera pulls away over to the Freedom Rollers.
Woo!
Floyd's clapping as Ethel steps up. What does Ethel's bowling ball look like?
Oh, they're actually called Jesus Lizards.
It is a bald eagle.
Because they run on water.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a bald eagle.
Yeah, she raises it up into frame, and it's just this stern...
No. It cuts to her. It was just an eagle face.
Uh-huh.
And then she pulls it down, and you see her face there.
And she's making the same expression.
Basilisks. B-A-S-I-L-I-S-K-S.
Those are the ones that...
Basilisks have the ability to run on water.
Oh.
Is she played by... is she played by character actress Margot Martindale?
They can be green.
Okay.
We were watching a movie here the other week, and Margot Martindale was in it. And I'm like, it's character actress Margot Martindale. But Ryan and Allie and Brianne had no idea what I was talking about.
Do you know who Margot Martindale is?
Which aunt was she in?
She wasn't. She was one of the shopkeepers.
She was one of the shopkeepers. Okay.
She was the brunette shopkeeper.
Okay, I don't remember. She didn't stick in my memory.
It wasn't a good character for character actress Margot Martindale.
Hold on, I can Google her.
She's a character. She plays herself on
BoJack Horseman.
Oh,
I saw that.
I think
she was the one who stole the boat.
Yeah, she's the crazy
second season.
Yeah, she's the crazy actress who does all those crimes with BoJack.
Robbed
the bank. Yeah. And at first she just helps him rob a bank, and then she starts killing people, and then you find out she's a sociopath.
Yeah, that's character actress Margot Martindale.
I like her. She's a good character.
Yeah. Right. So is that's who put
or real
she's,
person?
She's got
either her or Kathy Bates.
I do like Kathy Bates.
Okay,
because I understand a little better how to play Kathy Bates. Mm-hmm. So she's got a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. She pulls back and lets one roll, and she picks up the spare.
Nice.
Yeah, what did I tell you?
You said you were going to get the spare.
And I did.
All right, Floyd steps up, grabs his American flag ball, and lines up, and I'm going to roll deft.
What about this lady, Ryan?
Who's that lady?
You know who she is. She's in everything.
I know, but who is she? Is she one of the mole women?
I don't know. She's in all the Tim Burton movies.
No, she's not one of the mole women.
No? She looks kind of like them.
She does.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think she is, though.
All right. I forget what her name is.
Conchata.
I got a 7, so I
know the mole.
I hit, I don't get a strike.
Okay.
God damn.
You almost had it there.
Can I be bowling a turkey?
Is your bowling ball a turkey?
No. If you get 3 strikes in a roll, it's a turkey.
Okay.
I just had a shoehorn turkey.
I'm gonna see if I can pick up that spare. That's a 7, so what do I get the spare?
So you get the spare, but it's a spare.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, better than not getting the spare. All right, chunk, clunk,
clump,
whatever. Clump,
whatever your damn name is.
Chunk, clunk, whatever your damn name is.
Chunk's my cousin.
I apologize. Now you go.
All right, I pick up my denim patterns ball. See, y'all didn't get C-Rock. I'm gonna get C-Rock right here. Y'all just watch.
Luxury Spain.
What was it from again?
The blue collar comedy.
Right.
Spa. Can I roll to see how I do?
Oh, I was wrong. I think you can just do it.
Yeah, no, the other characters, the secondary characters just do whatever.
Alright. He doesn't get his C-Rock though.
Ha! Maybe you should get yourself a real ball.
What do you mean? This ball right here, this is the best ball I've ever had. I've been carrying this around for years. This ball got me more C-Racks than the whole C-Rack factory.
What kind of factory would make strikes?
Oh, of course you don't know.
Communist factories, probably.
Yeah. Strikes for the masses. Just give them out to everyone.
Anyway, Bo over here is working on his turkey.
That's right.
Come on, Bo, you can do it.
At an exit of the
Rainbow's ball. Yeah, Bo, or Rainbow's ball is rainbow colored because his parents bought it for him. He can't afford his own. And
is that one of them gay pride balls?
You know who bought it for me.
Yeah. Look at that ball right there.
Doesn't mean you can't buy your own ball. You're a grown-ass man.
Got a ball.
No.
I spend my time researching, and you know that.
So you can't buy a bowling ball?
I don't get paid for my research. Not till I get my Nobel Prize.
You'll get there eventually, Bo. Your newsletter's good.
So, okay, so explain it to me again.
What part are you having trouble with?
But, like, they put satellites up there and it's round.
No, those are Photoshops.
Okay.
There ain't no real pictures. Just look. Any single picture you look at from NASA, it says composite or... They're all fake. And they say it right on them.
Wait, so what shop did they get the photos at?
The Photoshop.
No. Photoshop, it's a computer program.
Didn't you read that last article by him that I shared on Facebook?
It probably came up in my news feed, but I may have...
Anyway, lay off
skipped
the
it.
Lay off the boys. About to bowl his third strike.
All right. I just want to know what, I mean...
If you read the newsletter I left in your mailbox, you'd know.
I think Juanita probably tossed that one.
Well,
why would she?
I don't know. Sometimes she goes through the mail before I get home.
He reaches into his pocket and pulls out a copy. Here you go.
Thank you. I'm going to start reading your newsletter about why the Earth is flat. Mm-hmm.
It's called... Don't be a Baltard.
Terrible name.
Yeah.
So do you both, does he bowl his turkey?
Absolutely, he bowls his turkey.
So he bowls the turkey, you all cheer. Stan walks over, he's spraying the inside of one of the shoes and, you know, cleaning it out. Hey, you guys notice how all of a sudden, ever since that fella bought this place, Paris Bowl-O-Rama is getting all the business. This place is emptier than a...
Look, that's what happens when...
the head of a ball <Go away>.
That's better than what I said.
That's why I'm the writer.
It's probably because the people know that Mr. Escargot is, you know, an immigrant.
That fancy schmancy one ain't got nothing on what we got going over here.
I mean, don't get me wrong, he's one of the good ones, but I don't know if the people in Paris are okay with that.
Are you sure he isn't in some kind of gang?
I mean, I'm pretty sure he's probably in some kind of gang.
Well, I mean, probably.
But, he pays my check, so what the hell, right?
Like I said, he's one of the good ones.
You guys look down and you notice your balls are haven't come up.
Where is my ball?
Hey, Stan, you gonna fix that?
Yeah, let me just push the call button. Give me a second. Are you gonna let him push the call button, Alex?
No.
Wait, why would he even want to push it? Wouldn't the call button
would call him?
There's a technician that he's calling.
Oh, okay.
Let me push the call button. I'll get one of the techs.
No. You know what? I remember from last time, there's a trick to it. Let me show you. Floyd gets up and walks down the alley.
Uh-huh.
And like, hits something.
Slippery.
Why did he want the button to be hidden?
Because it
opened
the secret staircase.
Right. What are you trying to do? So
I'm trying to get the balls back. So I'm figuring that in this alley, the ball returns are like covered.
Uh-huh.
So Floyd
bumper bowling.
Floyd walks down where he thinks the balls are and just starts like kicking it to loosen them.
Okay. All the balls come back, but yours.
Yeah.
God damn it. Why couldn't it have been mine?
Looks like you're going to have to keep your gay ball there.
You give me the gay ball. Gay ball.
I'm just forlorn. I do have to keep the gay ball. You guys are right.
They all came back with yours, Floyd.
Yeah, I'll You know, I have to. I'll speak to Mr. Abercrombie about it. I mean, I'm not leaving here till I get my ball back. But I think I know how to fix it. You don't have to worry about it, Stan.
All right. It's about time to close up for the night anyway. All right. Whenever you're ready, bring your shoes back. I'll clean them out.
I think we have our own shoes.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Whenever you're ready, you can...
give me your shoes.
You can pay the tab.
Yeah, you guys go on up ahead. I'll catch up with you. I gotta get my ball back.
You sure? I don't mind waiting.
No, it's fine.
I feel like Ethel has a pitcher of beer that she's just drinking out.
Oh yeah, no, there are multiple empty pitchers of beer,
and the empty pitchers have Ethel cigarettes in them.
Yes. So do some of the full ones.
So as the freedom rollers are. Rolling out. Antonio and Jane are entering.
Okay. Who's Antonio?
I'm Antonio. Antonio Ravioli.
Right.
How are the lanes tonight?
I mean, they were doing good. Want to make my ball.
Well, I suppose that Mr. Esquizzili has a mission for us.
More importantly, how are the taps tonight? That's fine. I'll find out.
Dry by the looks of it, and she points to all of the empty pitchers.
Yeah, Stan walks by. Ethel was here. We got nothing but suds left.
There's just a really loud belch from off camera. Thanks, Stan.
The ex-wife was over. I'll take the suds.
Like the belch they always used in the credits. Yeah.
He hands you one of the full pitcher. We got this. He hands you a full pitcher, but it's got a bunch of cigarettes in it.
Honestly, great. You can barely taste them.
And yeah, he kind of walks off.
Into we also have a bottle of this, and it's just whatever Will's character brewed up in the bottle last time.
Oh, yeah, that would be a shame to drink. And then as soon as no one's looking, Antonio takes it.
All right, so the lane's clear out, and you guys seem to be alone.
I think we're alone now. It doesn't seem to be anything.
So now I'll hit the call button.
Okay. As expected, the lanes turn into a staircase leading down.
I go down. You know, you might want to come up with a different system because my league was just up
so,
there.
Wait, and, you guys. So you guys go down the stairs, and then the camera just cuts back to Harold standing in the glass, standing behind the glass door, just watching this.
Face pressed up against the glass.
And then it cuts to you guys downstairs walking into the office.
Yeah, you might want to come up with a different system because my friends were just bowling and their balls got stuck when they didn't come back and they almost hit the call button and would have blown the whole thing wide open.
Well, I told Stan that he should have cleared them out by this time. He's afraid of Ethel.
Well, I mean, I can't say I blame him. She does bite. I've seen it.
She's been after him for years.
The only one who's not afraid of Ethel is my mother. Don't let the two of them near each other.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, I wouldn't like to see that.
I have seen it twice. That's how I got this scar. And this one.
Was that the time that your mother stabbed Ethel with a broken beer bottle?
She was trying to stab Ethel.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, come along, have a seat. I've been working on a new slideshow.
All right.
Is that what you do while we're out living our lives?
It's very important work.
How else am I going to explain your missions to you?
You think they're just going to explain themselves?
This is the most succinct way I can think of explaining it.
So what do you have for us this week?
I have flash animation. And he clicks on PowerPoint and it opens up. And on the opening screen, it's just like a big, like, it's a clip art corn person.
like making a scary face.
Why do they have that as clip art?
And then very specific clip art.
And then he just clicks to the next thing, and it's just like an flipbook picture. It's like a flipbook animation.
Okay.
Of like a corn man like eating a person.
Oh my god!
And then he clicks on it again, and the next slide says, "Beware the corn men."
Ooh.
I guess that's the name of the title. I guess I just titled the episode. and he says, "Madam Mutato is Boris Kovalchik's number one scientist."
Chris.
And she's developing an army. An army of corn.
Well, it's not scary. Wait, now what? It is.
Oh, no, there it is.
Wow. That one's not even supposed to be terrifying, and it is.
Oh, God. That's what they look like. An army?
Oh, it doesn't have an eye, so it can't be this one. This corn's playing basketball.
Yes. Men, and presumably women, made of corn.
Why?
I mean, that's terrifying and all, but why corn? What?
Because when they fall on the battlefield, they can then be repurposed into menace cereal. It's brilliant if you think about it.
Wait, the cereal's made from their dead corn soldiers?
Yes. Oh God! And somebody, oh God! I had a bowl this morning.
Apparently, there's a Lego minifig corn man.
Yeah, probably.
Why?
I don't know why.
I want it.
You can get it for only £5.99.
Ooh,
it's precious.
Your mission is to infiltrate Madame Mutato's secret underground military compound.
Nope.
Underwater military compound. And destroy her corn man project.
Wait, underwater?
Yes, he clicks on the the next slide, and it's just like two really like crappily drawn clip arts of like a merman and a mermaid holding hands, and they're inside a circle.
That one doesn't do as good a job conveying your meaning.
They're underwater. So in a dome.
Looks like they're in a bubble, and then they're gonna bone.
It's an underwater city, don't you? Look, and you look in the background, and behind them there's like a building. God. See, it's an underground compound.
Underwater.
It's an underground building under a dome with people in it.
I guess so. But why are they mer people? They wouldn't need a dome. They would just be in the water.
Well, because they're underwater. I mean, otherwise it's just a circle.
Well, you could put regular people in there.
Corn monster.
Well, then how would you know it was underwater?
Oh, I mean, you maybe put blue around. It just seems like why would there be a mer lady and a merman?
I don't.
Do we have to kill a merman too?
No, there are no mermen. I don't need your criticisms,
Doctor.
It's not a criticism. It's a. What do they call it when you're trying to be nice about it?
Constructive criticism.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, I'll take it under advisement.
Look, you know, I love your sideshows.
What if you had, like, a squid swim by?
Oh, don't look. And he blacks out the screen for a second, and you hear, like, typing and clicking.
The hell is this?
And then he opens it up, and you see two people in that circle, and then there are just, like, little bubble circle. There are, like, little bubbles around them.
Okay.
I mean, that's better.
Yeah. And a fish swimming, and like a fish in the upper left-hand corner.
Yeah, okay, that's better. I kind of get it now.
So where is this underwater base?
It's not a casino again, right?
So she lives in a giant bubble.
It's an underwater dome. It's a rural military farmstead where she grows the corn and then genetically transforms them into vicious man-killing soldiers.
A military farm?
Yes.
So she built herself a farm underwater?
Yes.
In a dome?
Yes.
Naturally.
All right.
They're very ostentatious, these villains.
Nothing like our humble digs. Wait, but where's Jamie?
Oh, yes.
Still recovering.
Why would you care?
I like him now.
He
took a bullet for you.
Not for
he
me.
Decided to sit this one out. As you know, Floyd, he's not taking his recent injury well.
Yeah.
It just cuts to Jamie laying in bed, moaning. Oh, God, it hurts. It hurts so bad. And you're just standing over him.
Yeah.
Sure and is.
His arm is just in a sling. He's got, like...
It hurts so bad. Well, you have to wait another hour before the doctor's recommended dose of baby aspirin.
And it just cuts back. So, he'll be sitting this one out.
And where underwater is it?
Well, the coordinates will be programmed into the bathysphere.
Into the what?
The bathysphere.
What's a bathysphere?
Yes, well, you will have to, you will, of course, have to take the company car to the pier.
Wait,
to...
there's a company car?
Yes.
That's incredible.
You made us take the bus last time.
Well, there's a nearby pier. You'll be taking the company car there.
Wait, there's a nearby pier?
Yes.
Not in West Virginia.
Well, not nearby.
Oh, okay.
There's a pier in
there's an underground pier.
By nearby, because, he meant the opposite.
Yeah. Right, because the underwater base is in a cave lake.
Oh. We'll say it's somewhere. I mean, it's not that far in Maryland.
Okay,
it's not that far.
Oh, I guess we don't want the cave lake then. Fine.
So it's an underground underwater base.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes it better.
Okay, so I like that idea. Well, there.
That was a pity, like, that idea.
No, I actually...
I don't want it anymore. I'm going home. Nice. I gotta walk because Alex drove me.
Oh, I gotta go. Chris wants to storm off.
And I can't take life anymore.
I kinda wanted to sulk away.
Okay, so...
The Thomas Paris Caverns have a secret compartment that nobody knows about. There's an underground lake, which will feed into the ocean. And there is a bathysphere waiting there for you.
Okay.
So we have to go underground and then go underwater from there.
It's not that far underground.
Can we just, like...
There are tours that go through that cave all the time.
Can we just, like, swim out and put a hole in the bubble?
No, it's an impenetrable bubble.
Oh.
You have to...
Impenetrable bubble is kind of a funny phrase.
You have to break into the compound and sabotage...
How are we
going to
do that if the bubble's impenetrable?
That's your mission. You'll find everything you need in your satchels.
I like your idea better. Let's just flood it.
Oh, well, it's impenetrable.
Well, we're going to have to penetrate it to get in.
We're going to have to figure something out.
It must open and close somehow, otherwise no one would be able to enter.
Well, presumably there are, those
airlocks.
Thank you. Now they're air docks now. I'm going to call them air docks from now on.
All right, so...
I'm not going to remember that.
We take the cave tour to the underground lake, to the bathing sphere, to the bubble.
That's right.
For the bathing sphere part.
We've gotten you all tickets to the cave tour tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m.
Oh, tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. Usually we just go and... All right.
All right. Good luck!
You. Okay. And I'm going to get my ball back, right?
Oh, yes. You'll find it on your way out.
Good.
As you're leaving, a woman walks in. She's very well dressed, older woman in her like maybe early 60s, late 50s.
Like down the stairs or from a door in the bunker?
She's walking into the room.
Down the stairs or from a door in the bunker?
No, from down the stairs.
Okay.
She walks in, and she walks past you. She's wearing, you know, like a skirt suit.
A scoot.
Yes.
Did you call them that?
Oh, Mrs. Somerville. Yes, gentlemen and lady, this is Mrs. Somerville, one of the higher-ups.
Oh, nice to meet you.
She smiles at you and kind of nods. When she walks by, you notice that she smells like an attic.
Her face is very like, tight.
Or like a thrift store. It's like a musty smell.
Mm-hmm.
And she just kind of nods at you. Dr. Esquizzilli, please clear the room. We need to have a discussion. And, yes, they were just leaving.
Pleasure to meet you, ma'am.
And she kind of nods at you, and she sits in Dr. Esquizzilli's chair.
Oh.
And then the doors close.
Well, I suppose we'd better go home and get a good night's sleep, because we're going spelunking and then diving and then possibly sabotaging tomorrow.
Yep. Sounds like a plan.
You hear a crash from behind the desk, behind Stan's desk.
No, no, can it be from one of those, like, public bowling ball things?
Sure.
Like, just...
And you hear a big crash as all the bowling balls fall over.
That sounded like all the 8-pounders.
And you guys turn around, and you see Harold is standing there.
Where am I? What is this?
It's a bowling alley. Harold, what are you doing here?
You know this hobo?
Oh! What was her last name again?
Miss Porters.
Miss Porters! Oh, hello! Fancy to see you here. We're in the bowling alley, but what happened?
I'm imagining you were listening, and then you, like, ran and hid, and then...
Right. Oh, we were just fixing the ball retrieval, because my ball got stuck, but see, it's back now.
Oh, that's
fixed
right.
It.
And Allie was just, she stamps her foot and the Allie just like reconstructs itself. The stairs, uncollapse. And she goes, the Allie was just a little warped.
Yeah.
It's better now.
Oh, so.
Is there an index card around here?
Yeah.
It's amazing bowling technology they have.
Well, alright, I guess that makes sense, but what was all that something about going underwater?
I don't know.
They got a scuba diving class tomorrow.
Yep.
And you have to go underground to get to the scuba diving class?
Well, it's West Virginia. What border do you suggest we go in?
I mean,
it's a beautiful old flooded mine. Wonderful things to see at the bottom.
Like rocks.
It's all sound. I know I've had a weird couple of days, but... I thought I heard a lot of stuff that...
Thank you.
You normally don't hear in the bowling alley. I've never really been much of a bowler.
Harold, do yourself a favor and forget what you saw and heard and go home and...
Oh, I have a hard time forgetting things sometimes. You know how focused I was?
I have a hard time forgetting things sometimes. You know how focused I was? Oh, and the bank took my house.
Are you Tony Ravioli or Antonio?
You can call me either.
No,
it's Antonio.
I'm making a note because someone suggested that we start putting who plays who in our episode description, but when I was writing it up last time, I didn't remember who played who, and I didn't want to listen to it, so I'm writing it down.
Damn!
Yep.
Alex goes out of his way to avoid reliving the horrific experience of playing our games.
When I get home, I'm going to bash my head against the wall till I forget everything that happened.
Harold,
it's going to take a while. I know.
Harold, can you give us a minute? I need to confer with my colleagues.
Oh, okay.
Just stay over there, and amuse yourself somehow. Look, there's
go bowling.
Is there anything to bend?
Oh, here, take this straw.
Yeah, you can bend this.
Oh, it's not the same, but I'll do it. I'll do anything for it. With bending right now. Thank you.
All right. So Janet pulls Tony Ravioli and McTavish to the side. What do we do? He must have followed me here from the bar mitzvah.
I don't know. Kill him.
Wait a second, let's not be hasty.
We can't kill
Harold. I might
be
able to sell him some honey first.
We can't kill Harold.
Why not? I mean, is there a protocol?
Look, my company just laid him off a few months ago. How long ago did we lay him off?
I thought it was like a week, I thought we said.
Okay. My company just laid him off last week. He's been a loyal employee for 12 years, and we're going through this automation process. It's tragic.
Right, okay.
Look at him. He obviously isn't taking it well.
Yeah, it looks like...
I can only bend this once. There's only the one bend. I push it like this. Twist it around.
Twisting isn't bending.
It's not the same!
Maybe we could get him in with the organization, you know. And that might make me feel a little bit better instead of just killing him.
Wait, so you're suggesting we recruit a deranged former paperclip bender?
Well, I mean, when you put it like that, it doesn't
sound... Well, actually, you know what? You've convinced me.
No, that wasn't the point. You're definitely taking the wrong point.
We know how many paperclips the menace gets.
Right.
We need someone with some insight.
Maybe he's
Harold. Harold H. Glurney. Glurney spelled exactly like it sounds.
Oh, useful.
he could prove incredibly useful. Harold.
Yes!
Quick question.
I've almost got it in the paperclip shape.
Oh, okay. Look,
it just got the last twist.
Yeah, just
it's not going to hold anything, though.
Bear with me a second. Tell me, what do you remember about the H-types from work?
The H-types?
One of the types of paperclips, stupid. Yeah.
Oh, the H types. Yes, it's a per. You know, you have to bend. Normally, you would end it with the inside bend, but those ones, they're more sturdy. And if you end it with the inside bend, you know, it's always a pain to get that one last. So you want to end it with the outside bend first, because you just bend it right around this way. It just makes the structural integrity of the paperclip that much better.
You want to end it with the outside bend first.
With the outside, did I say first?
Yes.
Alright. Well, you ended there first, and then later you end it in a different way.
Okay.
Right.
You end all the different parts at different times, and when you're done, you have a paperclip in the end.
Yeah.
Right, and can you think of why anyone would need 18 pallets of them?
Oh, there's, you know, lots of documents to hold. You know, of course, there's many uses for the H-type.
I just thought of something. Well, I mean, you could create some sort of impenetrable armor that would probably be watertight. I mean, it could withstand thousands and thousands of pounds of water pressure.
I'll say that.
And if you make it thin enough, you can see through it.
I look over at Alex's character, Floyd. See?
Oh, okay.
How would you get through that?
Oh, you know,
it sounds pretty impenetrable.
It's marketed as impenetrable, but really, we're not supposed to say it's only nigh impenetrable. I mean, like, it's very hard to penetrate, but it's doable.
Also, I've decided his code name is Clippy.
I mean, I mean, you need somebody who could
clip or something.
You need something like the Benderu 5000, or somebody who could bend as good as the Benderu.
You need the Benderu 5000, but then you'd have to leave him at the bottom of the lake. Who knows who could bend paper clips that fast?
Okay, I guess Harold, you're coming on a trip with us tomorrow.
Oh, let me just clear my schedule. Done.
So where do we get one of these Benderu 5000?
Oh, they're not really as great as, you know, they would sound, because there's a lot of upkeep. It's not really necessary to have one of those around, in my opinion.
It's really just a one-time use thing.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I can work. I'm a professional. I can work better than that machine, in my opinion. But I guess if they can pay it less, but I can take care of it. I'm twice the man that the machine is.
I mean, no offense, but I don't think a person could bend a paperclip as well as a machine could.
Plus, it's definitely a man. It just had a bar mitzvah. I saw it on the news.
I have this picture in my head that Harold gets, like, really, like, somber and serious for a moment. Uh-huh. He just closes his eyes. There's a close-up of him. You just hear this rustling, and then, like, you look over and the straw is, like, perfectly bended into like this like beautiful framework of this like beautiful intricate framework that's like a perfect replica of
a paperclip.
I mean that's pretty, but that's a straw.
Just wait till you see what I could do to a paperclip.
Well,
you should pull like a small length of wire out of your beard.
Well, be careful.
I stashed this. Don't tell them. Don't tell.
Don't worry, Harold. I won't tell anybody.
What are they going to do? Fire you again?
Well, actually, he would be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. He did steal company property, and Mr. Williams frowns upon that. But don't worry, Harold. I won't rat you out. Show the what you can do.
Right away.
Stitches get stitches.
Here we go. Nice and bendy, bending around, bend over there and around this way.
You make a depth roll.
You open your hands and there's 30 paper clips. Oh,
depth isn't really my thing.
Plus a d6.
Oh. 6.
All right, so I kind of like this thematically, that maybe you've lost your bending edge.
After a week.
He's been going hard on those bowls.
Maybe you've lost your bending edge.
It's more mental than physical. It's like when Spider-Man loses his powers.
So this will give you a nice build at the end. So you go to bend the paperclip and like you snap.
Yeah.
This one had to be defective. This was a defective one. That's why I was able to get out, because they would have known if I had a real one.
Right. Well, this is a great idea. So why don't you just meet us at the cave tour at 1 o'clock tomorrow?
I don't know where that is.
We need that bending robot, right?
No. No, you don't. No one needs that. Listen, when you got me on the team.
Well, in his
defense. Listen to me. Once we're done with the bending robot, it's going to disappear, and they'll have an opening at the factory.
Well, here's my concern.
Oh.
I don't know how well a robot would work underwater.
BenBot 5000 now works underwater.
I mean, it's a paperclip bending robot. I don't think it's waterproof.
Actually, it is.
Oh, well, all right. Let's get that.
That's
then.
One of the reasons that we ordered them.
Oh, well, how many you got at the factory?
Just the one.
No.
Just the top of the line.
All right, so we need to steal that in a truck.
I've got a character. I don't think my guy would pick up on this in character, but why would it being waterproof have sold you guys?
So Mr. Williams likes to be prepared for any contingency.
He loves to carry his coffee around the factory floor, too.
Well, he was tired of having the machines that were just earthquake-proof, so now this one's earthquake and flood-proof.
I have an idea. So, Ryan, just to cut the scene so we can move on. Uh-huh. Ryan, can you say, just the one, It cuts to Madame Mutado, and she's on the phone, and she said, "Yes, Mr. Prescott. The recent shipment was a wonderful addition. We think they're going to be working wonderfully." And then it cuts to dozens of Benderoo 5000s, like, mm-hmm. constructing the walls of the of the underwater dome. So you just see like a
she goes, of them. Thank back. God they work underwater.
Yeah. and that's the end of the scene.
Okay.
So we cut to the next day. We'll just cut to the cave tour.
Guess we're not going to steal it.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think that would be more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, probably.
That would kind of defeat the purpose of us bringing
Eric.
Yeah, Harold along.
Okay.
So it cuts to the next day at the cave tour. There's a very bored guy. He's got like a big bushy beard. And
big bushy beard.
He's got glasses. He's wearing a hard hat, with a light on it. He's got shorts and
a hard hat has a light on it? I don't believe you.
And he's got a shirt that says
he's got a shirt?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got a shirt on
one of those
it.
Shirts that looks like a tuxedo but isn't.
No, it's a shirt for the cave, and it says I'm Bats for the Tom Paris Cave, and there's just a bat with its wings spread on it, hanging upside down.
You mean I'm Batty? I don't think you just say I'm Bats.
I'm Bats, yeah.
I could see both, really. I think Batty is probably more...
Okay, so I'm Batty for whatever. So he's just standing there.
Could there also be a shirt with a bat hanging from the thing, and there's just a pile of shit under the bat, and it says Guano Happens?
That's on the back of the shirt.
Okay.
So he's walking... It's said that in 1873, when Thomas Paris discovered Paris, West Virginia, that he and his family were living in this cave for a week before they finally found a habitable part of West Virginia, of our fair city. This rock bed over here is said to be Thomas Paris's bed. For that week.
Ooh.
Does anybody have any questions?
Foy raises his hand.
Yes, sir.
Did he have a rock pillow, too?
As a matter of fact, philosophers have been debating about that since these tours started back in 1917.
Wow.
Philosophers, not historians.
They're really the same thing.
Are they?
I'm pretty sure they're not.
When it comes to spelunking, they are.
Hey, did you guys know that guano is not only bat shit, but also seabird shit?
I meant to say historians. I don't know why I said philosophers.
But I just because went. You're Englishing at 100 yeah. today.
I taught you guys about shit today.
I personally believe that Thomas Paris needed no pillow.
Wow.
He was a strong man, and he shunned the comforts of life.
He found his own pillow. He was I'm an existential historian.
No, it's
what is a pillow,
shirt.
Really?
Or a
then,
baby onesie.
And then he walks on.
See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want this for one of your babies that's happening?
No.
Just the first one, I guess.
Just the one.
Maybe there'll be a surprise triplets.
And then he walks on.
I hope Sarah surprisingly gives birth to, like, quintuplets.
In the next
doctor's like,
the
scene. Well, all right, so here's what happened. Whenever we did a sonogram, they were all lined up. So we only saw the one.
And how would you react to extra babies?
Your new babies are great at hiding.
So he walks on. In the next room, we'll see a colony of Lavinium. These are, of course, the fruit bats named for Lavinia, Thomas Parrish's wife.
They trained them to be a competitive INC team.
He walks on with the tour. You guys kind of lag behind.
Only two of them are good at it, though.
All right, fantastic. We're off the tour. I've been ready to leave this cave for the past hour.
This guy was so boring. I've just been thinking of paperclip though to keep myself out.
This guy's so boring.
You look over. Floyd is like trying to lay on the rock bed and see.
He's just so uncomfortable. Wait, nope. I found the spot.
And it's
gone. That's actually not too bad. No, that's terrible. Yeah, no.
Floyd, are you okay? You look like you might need help getting up.
Yeah, no, this isn't a rock bed. This is just a pile of rocks.
Anything's a bed if you sleep on it.
All right, so where's this bathtub sphere we're supposed to take?
According to the instructions that Dr. Spazili left, it should be right down this passage over here. And I'm going to say that there's a little like side passage that's got like a
like a chain?
Yeah, a chain across it, and it says, do not enter, unsafe.
Or do not enter, bears.
Sure, it says, do not enter, bears.
Well, guys, I don't know.
Do not enter, bears!
There might be bears in there.
Thank God, I thought one of us was going to say, we're not bears, it doesn't apply to us.
Oh, good point.
There, Floyd lifts the chain and goes under.
Do not touch Willie. Good advice.
Are you sure? The sign did say bears.
I mean, I think if there were actually bears in here, they'd probably want more than this little plastic yellow chain to keep them away from the tours that come through multiple times a day.
That's sound logic.
Or maybe bears are just terrified of the color yellow. I don't know, but either way, we're going to find out.
Floyd goes, trust me, I don't think there are any bears in there.
And then bears are just a myth.
And then it just cuts to you guys running down the corridor towards the bathysphere.
I was wrong!
I don't worry about bears. My friend Rainbow says they're just holograms. just special effects.
You are threatening her cubs!
So, yeah, that's it. It just cuts to you guys running down like a corridor of the cave, like towards the bathysphere, as a bear is like loping after you.
It's a cave bear.
Yeah,
they like caves. That's where Yogi lives.
So you guys
really after me.
You guys get into the bathysphere.
You can smell the honey on you.
You guys get into the bathysphere and you like slam the door closed and put the bar in place.
Boom, the bear starts batting at it.
Well, Harold, aren't you glad you joined the team?
I've never seen one in person. I don't want to see it again. Can we move this thing, please?
Maybe. I don't know how.
Are there controls?
Yeah. Something? Why don't you make
I'll be honest with you guys, that's my second encounter with a bear.
I think there's a bit.
My ex-wife let one loose in my honey farm one time.
Why don't you make
Because I owed her $5.
A depth check to see how you can, make this thing work.
Alright. Don't worry, this old hat, I've piloted a bathysphere. A handful of times, but still.
They were used for 4 years of the 1930s.
I got a 7, so I.
And for 3 of those years. Ryan's character was.
You got a 7?
I got a 7.
Okay. So the bathysphere's.
Actually, we're not taking a bathysphere, we're taking a bathyscape.
Okay.
Oh my god.
A bathysphere has to be lowered.
Yeah, that's not.
Well, this is lowering.
No, like a bathysphere is just like a sphere that you drop into the water and let it sink.
So, it. You. Sub- you You submerged the bathysphere, Ryan.
Okay.
You
the whole time while they were trying to figure it out, the bear's on top.
So it's, it's drifting in the general direction of, you pull up a map.
Okay.
You can see there are spots located on the map, and, you can see where the underground, compound is. And the bathysphere seems to be drifting in that general direction, slowly. Right. And not really with purpose, but it's drifting. You're not piloting it.
Okay.
Are we?
But you are submerged and headed in the general direction.
Well, according to this counter here, we'll arrive there in 4 days, and we only have
20 minutes.
We only have 8 hours of air, so not ideal.
Exactly. Perfect. Yeah. So you're drifting. You're gonna have to find a way to get this thing moving. Otherwise, you're gonna all suffocate.
We had plenty of air until the bear ripped off that oxygen tank on the way off.
Yeah, GM walked away.
Especially if we're in a bathy sphere, that's not doing well.
It's only a bathy cube.
A bathy scape is a free diving, self propelled deep sea submersible.
That's probably what we're really in. I think a bathy sphere would really just be on a chain, kind of.
Consisting of a crew cabin similar to a bathy sphere, but suspended below a float rather than from the surface of a cable.
Oh, it kind of sounds like they're both just...
Well, the float is filled with gasoline because it is readily available, buoyant, and for all practical purposes, incompressible.
So you guys are in this bathyscape, drifting on a 4-day journey with the
air. Is it bathyscape now?
What do you do?
I guess I'm going to try to... I'm going to try to rig up something that will propel us faster.
Okay, make another def check.
All right, let me just see. I can probably work the controls. Maybe we can inject some of the fuel into the propellers here. Oh, good. I rolled a 4.
I was going to say, if you roll really well, you should be. Maybe I could eject the fuel, or... Oh, it's probably this one that's just throttled.
So,
now instead of 8 hours of oxygen, we have 6 hours of oxygen.
So, Ryan, you pull a lever... and you hear a voice.
If we spray the oxygen, it'll give us a boost.
Yeah, you pull a lever. Ejecting oxygen tank 3.
Wait, what?
Well,
and
I don't think
you
want to do that.
And you feel yourself lurch forward, and you do propel a little bit, but you just lost 2 hours of oxygen.
Well, good news. We only have 6 hours of oxygen left.
That's the good news.
And we're going to sink faster now that oxygen tank isn't being so buoyant.
Well, I didn't have anything to live for anyway.
Speak for yourself. I got bowling on Thursday.
Does someone else want to take a try at this? Because I'm not doing so well.
Sure. Yeah. Anything's better than this. Floyd's going to sit down and try to actually make us not die.
That's a death check.
10!
If that didn't work, I was going to try and roll my tough.
Floyd kind of just... You roll 10, so you describe what happens.
Floyd sits down and mumbles to himself about women drivers, and then takes the controls. Oh, here's the problem. You had it in neutral, and he pushes it forward.
Take off the parking brake.
Yeah. And then the whole thing starts to vibrate a little as the propeller actually starts going.
And you feel yourself lurching forward, and you see on the map you're moving forward at a much faster velocity. And you see that you're eating.
How many knots?
Done.
Meh.
Okay.
Well, that explains it. I'm used to driving. I'm used to driving automatic.
Mm-hmm.
You see that your ETA your ETA is now 3 hours.
Well, there we go. Still, try not to breathe too much.
Do you have to get back?
Sweet release.
Maybe there'll be air we can steal.
It's like if you have 6 hours, it says you have 2 hours. It says your ETA is 2 hours, so a 2 hour trip back, you'll be fine.
Plus, maybe we can just take one of those torpedoes back.
We don't know those exist.
Yeah, but maybe we could.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, once we get there, what is our cover story?
I mean,
we got lost from our tour group.
How many cover stories can we have
by a bear
breaking into a secret underwater farm that makes mutant corn men?
All right, so we're just going in loud then.
Well, we don't have to be loud about it, but I don't think we're going to be able to lie about why we're there. I mean, we're here from the secret underground farm inspecting agency.
Why don't we just tell them the truth? We're on a tour, and a bear chased us into the bathysphere.
Then they might just kill us.
Oh, they'll tell us if we tell them we're spies, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't just walk up and start talking to them.
I'm just saying, we should have a cover story in case it doesn't work. And a cover story should be the truth. It's too stupid to make up.
That is true.
All right, so in that case, we passed the time, I guess.
So so it cuts to you guys arrive. So the scene will cut there. We'll cut with you guys still in limbo about deciding.
I mean, I think we pretty much decided. We're just going to sneak in and not like...
Well, I think every time anything goes really well for the rest of the game, we should go, it's a good thing we planned it that way.
So it cuts to the bathysphere, bathyscape, sorry, jetting itself up to the dome. It's dwarfed by the dome. It's very, very small. There's not a whole lot of security outside because it's
a secret underwater facility.
You see that there's a, you know, like a docking port that you pilot the bathysphere into.
So we're just gonna dock? Do we have like wetsuits? Can we swim?
Yeah, let's say there are wetsuits on the,
Do we want to try to swim in somewhere or do we want to just pilot this thing in?
I imagine that we'd have to pilot it in. I mean, like, there's got to be like what am I calling them? Air docks? Airlock. Yeah, they're airlocks. Yeah. I'm calling them air docks now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got to get in through one of those, really, because it has to drain out all the water. And
we could say that the wetsuits are like super spy tech wetsuits that will withstand the
crushing pressure.
Yeah,
if it's swimming is probably a bad idea. There's probably like some squids or sharks swimming at just outside this thing.
Cave squids?
But we're not in a cave anymore, are we?
No, you're out in the ocean.
Still,
that was a hell of a cave. We took a cave river through Virginia.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, I guess in that case we're changing into wetsuits.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Are we going to swim in and do it that way, or do we just want to pilot the bathyscape in?
Well, I would imagine that they would see us coming if we piloted
the wetsuits. The are more dramatic and entertaining.
Yeah. All right, I'm all for wetsuits. All
right, so you guys park the...
Someone doesn't like the idea of having a cover story for when we dock the bathyscape.
I'm just saying that it doesn't matter because they're going to try to kill us no matter what the cover story is.
So as you guys pull up to the bathysphere, as you guys pull up to the dome, you park the bathysphere, and the top opens up and you guys come out of the... bathysphere in your wetsuits. Everybody make me tough.
Okay. Four.
Nine. Also four.
Hold on.
And that's my good skill.
I got eight and a duck.
I got a five.
So eight ducks.
Does anybody want to use any cred?
Wait, why are we... You got eight and a duck?
Yeah.
So nine.
Oh, okay. I saw all three dice.
I'll use a cred.
I was confused.
I didn't roll all of them.
Right.
I just rolled the eight and the duck.
I'd like to use a cred to not...
Bump myself up to a partial success.
Yeah,
so,
I'll do the same.
I'm going to say that Janet is wearing a futuristic type of rebreather that isn't a scuba tank. So she's, it's just like a little like thing that fits in her mouth that she's breathing yeah. through.
Floyd pulls out like a little handheld propeller thing to like pull him through the water.
The Heralds wouldn't know about all the technology. How would I get the cred anyway? How would I like use the cred?
Just grab onto Alex's ankle and have him pull you.
There was an extra satchel that somebody gave you with spyware.
Oh,
it was Will's satchel.
There was spyware on the.
This was Jamie's.
There was spyware on the. You got Jamie's.
No spyware. We gotta get it taken out.
I fucking hate you.
It's a foyer.
I fucking hate you too.
This is like my favorite part of that was your laugh.
You there's spyware on the bathysphere for Jamie or something.
Okay, I use it. I use it to give myself better.
You have to say what it is.
So, like Ryan said, that he had a rebreather, and
I like it.
Okay,
I have the same thing as Ryan does.
All right,
super
so
thank you.
The worst. So you rolled a.
Out of four. So we all got partial successes now.
So what I'm going to say to give you guys a worse outcome, you guys swim towards the bathysphere.
Nope.
Towards the dome. And
squid.
A giant squid.
Yay.
Just swims into your path.
It eats us.
And it's
not really partial.
It's standing in your way, and it's
standing.
Wow!
It's sort of floating in your way, and it's going to try to envelop you.
That would be bad. Giant squids are big.
They're not pictures.
Can I bend its tentacles away?
Yeah, tie its tentacles into a paper.
So what do you do?
Do it, Eric.
That's my character's first thought. As he sees the tentacles coming towards him, he's just picturing them as large wires ready to be paperclipped.
I would say that would be either deft or tough.
I want to say tough.
Roll your paperclip.
Oh, let me get the D100. Eight.
Okay. So that is, that's another partial success.
So another squid blocks that one.
No.
Every partial success introduces a new squid.
You add the squid to a different squid.
So it grabs you and starts to squeeze you.
Mm-hmm.
You take a stress. And
I just mark one.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Wasn't there like some roll I had to do or something?
No.
Nah, now you just die.
You tie the arm that it got you with.
Mm.
What do you tie it into?
I'm just bending it around the other one. Like,
okay.
Doing like a very.
And then you swim past it into the airlock.
I can't remember the name of that I was thinking of.
Wait, what?
It
catches him and squeezes him, and then he bends.
And he bends its arm.
And then he swims past it?
Yeah, because he gets away from the arm that got him.
Oh.
Yeah, the consequence was that he took a stress, not that it held him.
Right.
So, giant squids are terrifying.
Yes.
Their tentacles have claws.
Yes.
Oh,
and their suckers are serrated.
Yes.
Jesus.
What are you going to do to your arm, Janet?
To my what?
The
arm is
ready. Squid arm is going out.
The tentacle.
Shouldn't have called it his arm then.
Floyd, you're getting a tentacle too.
I'm sure we all are.
Well, not Antonio.
Was it some kind of anime?
That's
or
cool.
Then you rolled a 9.
I did.
Which is still a partial success.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You tell me. You're the rule man.
Oh yeah. No, you're right. Okay. So yeah, you're all getting a tentacle. So how are you all handling your tentacles?
I think that I'm going to just like slip right out of its grasp, and maybe like since its arms are so awful and pointy, I'm gonna like leave it so that it tries to grab me and it stabs itself maybe like in the head or
It can also rotate its tentacle claws 360 degrees.
Good.
Okay, so Ryan, make a... that would probably be deft.
Okay. I'm going to use my other dice. I got an 8.
An 8. All right, so... yeah, so you kind of swim around it in a confusing circle and manage to tangle its arms sort of around its own head.
Okay.
And then you also okay. swim past it into the airlock. But what's gonna happen now is that because you've basically killed the squid.
Okay.
With its own arms, it's going to start to crash down on all of you. It's like,
but not me. Falling. I already made it through.
Yes, except for you.
Yeah.
It's falling on you.
Okay.
So you have to get away from it.
So I'm going to swim.
All right. So
I guess that's what the rest of us are doing at this point now.
I'm going to swim as fast as I can.
All right. So that's deft.
Could that be tough to just? Kick sure. my legs as hard as I can.
All right, then I'm going to do tough as well.
I'm doing deft.
I'm fine.
I got a 6.
I got 12. A 6, too. I have no more gear left.
All right, so...
It's all right. I'm going down with Ryan. I'm not spending more cred on this shit.
Antonio, this with squid. Your with your unqualified success, with your super success, who do you drag into the airlock with you?
Me.
Yeah. The dead squid.
I mean, that would save us.
Yeah, stops it from falling on him. That's my choice.
No, who do you... Janet or
Flo? I guess Janet. I have to be chivalrous.
All right.
Okay. So you yank Janet into the airlock with you. Janet, you take a stress because the holy fuck that squid is about to fall on me and kill me.
Okay.
And then you're saved.
Why is that stressful?
Because Antonio saved her.
And then you're saved by Antonio.
That's the stressful part.
Floyd, you have a squid on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
Take a stress.
Okay, that's fair.
And now you have to find a way to unbe under a squid.
Make some down on.
De-squid yourself.
I'm going to, Floyd reaches down to his leg and grabs his diving knife and pulls it out and just starts cutting squid.
Okay, that's definitely tough.
You gonna cut your way through the squid?
That's definitely social.
That's 13.
Okay. So, I haven't even... So, in its dying breath, you guys watch in horror as the squid just scoops Floyd up.
Oh, it just swallows
him
whole.
It swallows him whole.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's easier to cut through the inside.
Yeah.
The skin on the inside.
It swallows him whole. And you guys are all just watching.
What? That makes no sense. The skin is just as thick from the
inside. As the squid, like, crashes to the ground. And you all kind of watch in horror as, you know, Floyd was just eaten alive.
Floyd!
I think you were right about how I shouldn't have come.
And then the squid, like, starts moving. Like, it's going to get back up again. But instead... There's just a cloud of blood as Floyd cuts through it.
Ink.
Yeah.
And you just swim into the airlock.
Floyd's got like little cuts from the squid tentacles all over him. Ink and blood.
Just an eye impaled on your knife that you're unaware of.
A dinner plate sized eye.
Yeah, I guess it's probably too big for a knife.
This is terrible. This is all terrible.
Floyd, you're alive.
Yep. Squid's not. It was big.
Must be one of those cave squids.
We're not in a cave.
Yeah, sure. We came in through a cave.
But we're not in a cave anymore.
We're not still in a cave. We're in the open ocean.
Once you're in a cave, you're in a cave for life.
We didn't go out any cave doors.
That's not how caves work.
All right, so you guys go through the second airlock, and you're on the you find yourselves on the outskirts of like farmland. And you can see in the distance, you know, there are silos and there's a big farmhouse. And there's just fields and fields and fields of corn.
Are they human-sized cobs?
Yes.
All right.
That's a lot of corn.
We've got to find a way to destroy this place. Harold, what do you think? I guess let's examine the dome. And
the camera just... it's a close-up on Harold's face as he's in horror. And then the camera pulls back and spins around as you can see all of the Benderu 5000 just putting up, sticking paper clips onto the walls. And
it's more.
Wow, those things are pretty efficient.
The blasphemy. They're unbending those paper clips.
Yeah, they're unbending the paper clips and using them to...
That's the opposite of what they're supposed to do. There's too many. There's so many of them. They're terrible. They're terrible.
Right. So can we break the wall?
Whatever we do, those robots will just instantly repair it.
Yeah. What if we break is the there robots. A switch on them? You we know, like them. We'll switch it from unbend to rebend, and then it'll turn the wall back into paperclips.
What do you call it? So, Janet, you oversaw the... You were part of the construction. You know how these things work. There's a master control unit.
Somewhere in the farmhouse.
There has to be a master control unit somewhere.
All right.
That controls all of these things.
These things run off of a master control unit. So somewhere on this property, there's a panel or a control box... That directs their every movement.
There we go. Then we just find that and shut it off. Does that work on every single robot of this type, or just the ones here?
It should work on any one within range.
Well, if there's a master control box, I'm willing to bet it's in that house over there because it's the nice one.
But that one's got all the metal on the windows and everything.
I feel like the person in charge has probably got the nicest house and probably has the control box.
That's true.
Richie did always have the nicest office. He had two chairs.
Right. He had a chair.
And an office.
He had a chair in that child's desk.
Right, so we should head off that way. Smart Everybody be on your guard for the... Corn men?
Look around. I mean, there's plenty of corn.
They don't look like any of them are men, though.
Floyd's gonna go over to one of the giant husks of corn and crack it off, what I'm assuming are like giant stalks, and pull the husk back to see what it looks like.
I really hope some thick, viscous liquid just comes pouring out. What do they call that sack that babies are in? And the amniotic fluids? Yeah. Something like that? Yeah.
So what you see when you pull it back, the liquid just comes pouring sack. Out. And let's say this is red corn.
Okay.
So it's just this giant stalk of red corn. No eye. It actually just looks like a giant stack of red corn. Because it's got its mouth closed.
Okay.
And it doesn't have any eyes. So it just looks like a giant stalk of red corn.
It's just giant gooey corn.
What is corn? Red?
It's green corn.
Yeah, there's that.
When you're holding it, just for...
Does it have arms and legs, too?
Yes.
Is it, like, curled up in a fetal position?
See, I was kind of picturing that it kind of moves around on its stalk, its husk. Like, it peels down and kind of scuttles around.
I like that.
Okay.
So it's just a giant stalk of corn, and then you step back and you look at it, and then... all of a sudden, its mouth opens up. Its head just tilts back, and two rows of razor-sharp fangs just jut out of its mouth, and it, like, roars at you and starts to, like, come at you.
Yeah!
It stalks as a...
Oh, my God, it's coming on.
I'm gonna use that knife again.
All right, make a tough roll.
9.
The corn husk. It leaps at you, and knocks you down to the ground. You come up with your knife and you take a slice at it, and it just wraps its husks around you.
It eats you.
Slice. What are you?
You're inside the. You're basically inside the corn husk right
again,
now.
Again, I just did this.
You're in. You know, it doesn't eat you. You're inside the corn husk.
Yeah.
Like face to face with this thing as it's like.
I'm just. Floyd just has his knife and is screaming. Ah! As he's stabbing it.
Okay, make another tough roll.
I'm tired of being eaten.
The rest of you can help too.
That's a 4.
Yeah, I don't have any. Would I have any weaponry that was from the spy?
Just say you did.
All right, yeah.
You have that spear you made out of paper clips.
So, Floyd, you drop your knife.
Yeah.
As you watch as Floyd's knife falls out of the husk, and the husk starts to like run away with Floyd inside of it.
Can I try to grab the knife and jab at it?
That would be a tough roll.
I'm okay at that. 8.
Alright, so you start stabbing at it wildly. Floyd, take a stress. As
you get stabbed repeatedly.
As,
Wrong part!
As the, Harold is damaging the corn man. At least enough that the corn man releases you. But his first couple of, jabs go into you.
Yeah.
You just start to feel as you start, ow, 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 and then
it's your knife. You can feel it.
Oh, I know my knife.
And then it hits the corn man a couple of times. The corn man kind of shrieks and runs off.
Oh, this place is terrible. I should never go bowling again.
Okay, let's not wake up anymore.
Here's your knife.
Why are you out of breath?
Because.
Thanks for the help, by the way.
This corn is really scary.
Okay. So, we just need to sneak through the cornfield without alerting any of the terrifying corn soldiers and steal the control box and then get them to get the robots to disassemble this place.
Alright, so how do you sneak through the cornfield?
Totes doable.
Fine. In pain.
I would say, depending on how you do it, it would be either deft or sly.
I'm going to say that pick up some corn husks that like dried, discarded on the ground, and I make myself look like a corn person.
I would say that would be sly.
Okay.
Well, that was my plan too.
Yeah, that's sly.
Yeah, I'm better.
I assume though I'm on like covered in corn goo.
Great, I got 2.
So Floyd's going to assume that he smells like them now, and since they don't have since he did notice it didn't have eyes. So maybe he'll be able to pass through by.
Okay, those are all. That's all sly.
That's a 10.
I got a 2.
I am of the corn.
I got a 2 on one of my dice.
I got a 4 on sneaking. Like they're sneaking. Okay, I didn't do so hot.
So you got a 10.
How did
you get?
7.
You got a 7.
Ryan got a 2. I got 4.
Okay. So
you got double his roll and still fail.
So Floyd, you get to the other end of the cornfield.
See, Ryan?
Yeah,
this one did as good as you.
Antonio.
Yes.
You're almost at the end of the cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
You're past any danger when you notice that the corn that's in between you and then Harold and Janet is starting to stir. I don't think this is going to be much of a choice for you. You can either bolt to where Floyd is to safety,
right,
or stick around to help them.
Oh.
Floyd did not put his knife away, by the way. He's still just like holding his knife.
So,
you know what? I'm going to say that Antonio is feeling a little guilty that he didn't try to help last time. So he's going to, while he sees the corn starting to get up, he's going to run and tackle it.
Okay. So that is a tough roll.
All right.
How tough is it?
7.
Okay. Now, what are the two of you going to do when you see the... You guys...
I'll also look out.
You guys...
Go!
corn!
You brush past the... So, Eric, who rolled the two? Ryan?
I rolled a two.
Okay.
Look at all the corn. This
so,
place is
Ryan,
popping.
Two is the worst one you can roll.
Yes, I'm aware. I know how to...
We're fucking walking home, Chris.
So...
Then I guess I better leave now. It's going to be a long walk.
You watch as Janet brushes past a corn creature and accidentally sort of like disturbs it, and it silently slides open, and it's behind her, and you see it slide
open. Like, it's like an egg from Alien. Yeah. It just like slowly peels back.
Yeah. Do I have some sort of weaponry in my kit that I had?
I mean,
you just say what you have and spend your bread.
And before you can say anything, it just falls upon Janet and like sinks its teeth into her shoulder.
Lays a baby in her stomach.
All right. Well,
and it starts to attack her.
Can I try to grab and throw it down to the ground away from her?
Yeah, sure. So that's
kinda
a tough roll. Janet, take a stress.
Okay.
Yeah, wait. So what did Chris do?
Yeah, nothing.
No, not yet. I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
So Janet sees. So that's what happens to Janet.
You're consistent.
Another corn man wakes up, and that's the one that you tackle.
Oh, there's more corn men. Fools we were to think it was just one.
I'm guessing that Janet probably screamed when she was bitten, and then that woke up.
I could tell you, it's not pleasant.
No.
So,
actually, no, I didn't get bitten by the corn man.
No, you got
I just got
stabbed.
That's the partial success, is there's more. That's the partial success.
I made more corn?
Yeah, there's more of them to deal with.
So that's, Janet gets bitten. She goes, oh God, why do they have teeth?
You got four. Yeah, you're trying to pull the creature off Janet, but its teeth are sunk in there. If you had any, unless you wanted to use some equipment to bump up your success.
I'm trying to think if I'd have something to heat it up.
You just say you do. And
right, I'm trying to think what it is.
It's a microwave gun.
Yeah.
Okay. idea, but I use Alex's idea for my idea.
Okay, so you whip out,
I don't know what this is!
So you fire a microwave gun.
It's got like a little number pad on it, and it's a button that says popcorn.
Yeah. Oh, it's got a dial. It goes from like 1 to 10. Reheat popcorn.
Stun, kill, pop.
Harold sends it for 15 minutes.
Oh God.
You fire
throw it at Will's window.
You fire the microwave gun at the corn man, and it starts to pop. Janet, it lets you go. You guys have made enough noise now that the entire field is starting to wake up.
What could possibly make it so much noise? Oh, the popping corn.
Everybody run! Everybody run!
I'm going to do that. The run.
Wait, so I have a question. Where were we going through the cornfield? To the main house?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm
like looking at it?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, how far am I? So I made it through the field. How far am I from the main house that we were heading towards?
We can say that, like, you're at the main house now, so we'll cut to you in a second.
No, okay, I just want to know, like... Okay, so if there was, like, a road we still had to run across or guards in the way or something, but I'm there, you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, there really is no reason for guards, because...
Secret underwater facility, yeah. And army of corn.
Right.
Yeah.
So the corn, field of corn is starting to wake up now. So if you guys are going to run away, that's
corn
definitely
monster?
Deft.
I'm corn not monster. Deft, but that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Let me see. It's corny.
Yeah,
it's
kind of corny.
Seven.
Fucking five.
I'm tackling the thing. I don't think I'm running. I'm entangled with it.
No, you should probably run, though, because the whole field is waking up.
So the thing is on its back, and you stand up, and you see the whole field is waking up.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, they're probably not good at standing up from...
Yeah, the thing is going to take a few minutes.
They have to unwrap their husks.
Yeah, well,
the turn them into legs. Like,
I don't have any different dice. All right, fine. Get dice. Oh, damn it.
Six.
Chris, did you touch these?
Eric's dice? No. Your dice? Yes, I was rubbing my balls on
them. That explains it.
First, I ran a mile. Then I sat in the steam room.
That's why they're all sweaty.
Yeah.
Alright, so...
I lied. I didn't drive Chris here. I just drove next to him as he drived.
Yeah.
So did anybody...
It's funny, I have the tiger.
Chris and Ryan failed?
Yes, I got a five.
Six is a failure? Yeah. Yeah.
Stole my bike.
So you don't want to use any credit to boost your...
I don't have any credit.
I was talking to Chris.
Well... I guess I'm sort of just in the same boat as Ryan.
Do you want to be in the same boat as Ryan? You could have your own boat.
I know.
Or you could be the same boat as Eric.
There.
Then we're going to hit... Yeah, I haven't used any cred. I'll bump it up.
Okay.
I've got rocket skates.
So
they're rocket skates. Skates.
How do we
rockets.
Like these?
The...
All right, that's a nine. I'll take it.
Rocket skates?
Yeah.
Okay, so you... You grab your rocket skates. I'll.
I click my heels together and wheels come out, and then rockets shoot out of the back.
I will throw you a bone, and as you're zooming by Janet, you grab her.
Nice, I saved you.
Disentangle her.
All right.
However, the drawback is that you guys have gotten turned around. You're not headed towards the house anymore.
Okay.
So Floyd is at the house, and you guys are headed... You guys find yourself near, maybe, let's say, the...
what else? There's a barn, right?
Yeah. You guys find yourself near, like, the weapons shed.
Okay.
The weapon barn.
The weapon barn.
Yeah, you guys find yourself in front of the weapon barn.
Should scare the corn with giant pats of butter.
And just
they like the butter. We've been through this.
That particular field of corn that you were in starts to pop as the microwave gun explodes.
Oh,
maybe it should have been a microwave grenade.
And, that field of corn, it's not all the corn, but that field of corn pops. So you have dispatched that particular field of corn,
hooray,
and you've escaped. Everybody take a stress.
No.
I'm good.
I'm at three stress.
I'm at four.
Yeah, how many is the
I'm
most
at four.
Stress?
Six.
Six.
Uh-oh.
As you guys escape to the front of the barn.
Oh, I hate all of this. Oh, this is terrible.
You didn't have the rocket strapped to your feet. God, my ankles hurt.
God, why are you out of breath?
Because
he does that.
I was skating.
But the rockets were doing all the work.
Yeah, but there was a lot of wind. It was hard to breathe.
All right, look, let's just take a look around and we'll figure out what we can do to help the others. Maybe we can find some weapons or something.
All right.
Oh, wait, so they're all at the weapon shack and I'm at the main house?
Yeah.
Cool.
So... others? You mean Floyd?
Oh, I thought that he was with Floyd.
No.
I'm sorry. Maybe we could...
Oh, you know what? Why don't we say that? That's fine. Let's split the party like that. We'll send... We'll have Harold with Floyd.
I don't know.
So Harold comes running up, and Floyd turns around. All right, so we can all...
Oh, God. There was so much corn.
Where'd they...
Was that them?
I can only guess, unless one of the corn has...
Rocket
boots?
It's possible.
I don't know.
It's evil giant corn.
It's entirely possible. Yesterday I wouldn't have thought giant evil corn was possible, but today anything is possible.
Right. Okay. So, house.
Yeah. And that's where we think the thing to shut the robots off.
Yeah, it could be.
Corn with rocket skates.
I like how its head is whipped back because it's going so fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Floyd's going to circle the house to see. I'm assuming there's a front door on mm-hmm. the porch. Is there a back door?
Yeah.
Should we go in the front or the back? Probably the back.
Yeah, yeah. They probably expected someone for the front.
Oh, I don't think they'd be expecting anyone, considering we're underwater in a bubble made of paperclips.
More expecting someone from the front than the back.
True.
Also, I love that they buy, like, tons and tons of paperclips from us just so that they can unbend them, straighten them out, and turn them into, like, some kind of a ridiculous superstructure.
So you,
That's some Rick and Morty shit.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the logistics, Morty. It works.
Listen, if they were buying a lot of military-grade steel, it would shoot off all sorts of red flags. But no one cares if you buy paperclips, Morty.
I was just listening to the Blarg episode of...
oh, boy.
The Insanity.
Yeah.
Where Meyer just played Rick.
Oh, the Insanity?
It was the one in the Hindenburg where...
Oh, the fiasco.
Yeah.
All right. So Floyd and Bud and Clippy sneak around back.
All right.
Code names.
All right. So the let's say the door is locked.
Not for long. It's not.
Make a sly roll to pick the lock.
What's your sly?
Six.
Now, do you want to do it or should I do it?
I'll try to do it. It's like another form of bending.
Sure.
You can pick it with paper clips, actually.
Now, we just need something to pick this lock with.
Oh, I think I've got something. I take one of the paper clips off my necklace and then clip the others together so the necklace stays on. So I take two of them off. I don't know. I never thought right, so.
Me either, but I've tried. You need two.
Nine.
All right. You manage to pick the lock.
The drawback is it a squid grabs us.
Not again! This is the third time in the last hour I've been eaten.
You manage to pick the lock, but the paper clip breaks off in the lock, so you don't have a way of like closing the door or locking it. They're going to know that, like, if anybody comes upon the door.
Right.
They're going to notice that, like, the lock's been picked.
Well, can't worry about that now. We're in.
Right, okay. So we go in. Now remember, be quiet.
Okay. So you're in, it cuts to you guys walking into the same room as, from the opening scene. And you just see a huge blood stain on the floor.
Got it. Yeah, that checks out. Okay, you think the corn did this? Yes. Yes, I do. I think that's a very educated guess.
This is a sentence I never would have said before today.
Well, I wouldn't have thought I'd been eaten by a giant squid before today either. It's a day of firsts.
It could be a pile of bones that the corn monster spit out, and you can grab one of the lucky corn monster femurs.
I assume that the corn monster ate the bones, too.
Oh, yeah, hashtag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hashtag, yeah.
Hashtag corn ate the bones.
Yeah.
Eric?
So what are you going to do from here?
So we need to find the master control.
Don't forget to mention Percy in it.
I think we should head downstairs, if there is a downstairs. That seems like the place... Instead of upstairs.
Right. There are a few buttons upstairs.
Basement lab is what I was thinking. But we can go upstairs first. Is it a two-story, three, five-story house? A million stories?
38 sub-basements?
Three.
Three-story house. All right. So I guess let's go up.
Okay. So you go up the stairs. What does the second floor look like, Ryan?
There's a lovely landing. You head up the stairs, and I'll say that maybe this is where Madame Mutato keeps her study. So there's a small library.
I feel like there's a big oil painting of Cerber and Rust at the top, in the middle of the landing.
That is a fucking ugly dog.
Oh my god.
Actually, instead of a picture, there should just be a small cage with a clone of it.
I've seen so many terrible things today.
That's not here. That would be somewhere else. But here in the landing, there's a big oil painting.
Of Cerber and Russ.
It's clone art.
You walk up the stairs and you find yourself in a study. Like I said, there's a small library. There's a desk with all kinds of papers and stuff. Books open to weird genetic documents and diagrams and we'll say just to introduce a complication.
You don't have to do that.
Maybe there's a pillow, and Cerber and Russ are asleep on it.
Yes. Of course, I was going to say a pillow's not bad.
It's a pretty complicated pillow.
Yeah. I mean,
wait till you see the
picture. You guys know that by the end of this, that dog is going to turn into a giant monster, right?
No,
I didn't.
You were going to surprise us with it.
Well, there you go. We killed all the tension there.
I mean, I kind of figured you guys assumed that was where it was going.
No.
Well, we said Cerber and Russ. I figured it was a giant monster already.
No, it's just a three-headed dog.
It's a three-headed chihuahua.
Oh.
It's a little dog.
I'm going to say that one head inhales and the other head exhales.
It's constantly inhaling and exhaling.
All right, so let's cut back to...
It's sleeping. So one head inhales and then the other head exhales.
Actually, no, let's stick with the scene. So Cerber and Russ are breathing, and then so you guys are in the study. This seems like a good place to.
I bet they got to behind the painting. That's what they always do. All right, you check behind the painting. I'm going to check the desk, maybe underneath the desk. No.
Right. I don't know if our listeners are going to be.
I was just going to say.
I think they could hear us. The mic's pretty good, but yeah. All right, stage whisper. I'll go check by the desk. You know, maybe there's a button underneath. Like a secret button?
Right. And I'll check the painting, because that's what they always do.
Right. Okay.
You pull the painting aside, and there's a smaller painting.
It was back when it was just Sir and Burr. They only had the two heads.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So we're going to check.
Okay. I guess both of you roll. We'll see who finds it.
Roll what?
Deft.
Oh. Will you find the
just roll 1d6. Both of you just roll 1d6.
1. 3.
Alright, so it's under the desk.
Damn it.
Oh, so it has master control?
Well, there's a button under the desk.
Uh-huh. What is it? Does it say what it does?
No, it's a little red button under her desk.
Yeah. That seems like a panic button. Or maybe it'll reveal the secret passage. I press the button.
The 50-50
shot.
So, Harold has...
So he can only do one of two things.
Harold's activated. Harold slides the painting back and looks behind. He's, pressing against the wall and nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. And then when you press the button, the wall slides open and Harold just falls forward.
I found it!
You press the button and the painting pushes into the wall instead of out. He was just pulling it the wrong way
and Harold just falls down forward.
I don't know how that would work.
I follow him in. Is it the master control program?
It's behind the painting. I knew it.
We were both right. I had to hit the button and unlocked it.
Alright, so as you guys are headed down this secret corridor, we cut back to the weapons
farm. You're taking credit for mine!
We cut back to the weapons farm.
I'm gonna run to the bathroom.
We're in the barn. We're in front of the barn.
There's gotta be something.
The weapons barn.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Your favorite weapons barn.
Huh.
Come on, Antonio. Help me find a
door?
Help me find a way in, yes.
Door.
Door.
I'm going to look for a door.
All right, make a
door.
Make a door roll.
Roll my door. Ah, 12. I found the door.
Found the door.
God damn it, why did I waste that 12 on the find the door roll?
All right, so describe
me how I would have done.
All right, well, I find this giant unlocked door that says, please enter and take our weapons. it doesn't have a sign, but the door is open. Okay. It's unlocked.
That's fine. So, yeah,
there's a guard there sleeping.
Yeah, so there's an on guard. There's an on duty guard.
He's sleeping with his head on the unlock button.
Yeah, there's an on duty guard. Again, they don't really take security seriously because it's in
a very improbable place.
Yeah. It's an underwater. You know, everybody there is part of Menace and would have no reason to like steal weapons. So he's kind of just sitting there with like a clipboard where people sign out weapons and stuff. It's Will. Let's say it's Will. Why not?
Guys, you want
He's laying there and he's...
Hey, we can just go in this door that's open.
Alright, what do we want to do about the guard?
Come here.
I think he's alright.
Billy Joe, I love you. Billy Joe Armstrong, you're my favorite.
Well, just be quiet. Sounds like he's having a dream.
Is he running? I think he's running.
He's so cute.
I think he's having a dream. Listen to him bark.
Gracie does that all the time.
I kind of just want to stay here and watch this.
I want to wake him up and give him a belly rub.
don't disturb him. He'll alert the whole facility that we're here, and then they'll kill us. Come on, let's go.
the hardest part of this mission so far is you guys walking away and not watching him sleep.
Yeah. It's so adorable.
The only reason we can get past him is because I rolled that 12. Otherwise, we'd be here for the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we go into the weapons locker.
So what weapons are there? I want to find a rocket launcher.
You tell me. You rolled a 12.
All right, I'm going to find a rocket launcher.
You describe what you find.
There's walls and walls and walls. Well, I guess there's four walls. There's rows. They're little like a food store. They've got aisles.
Okay.
You know, aisle one, rifles. Aisle two, handguns. Aisle three, No, there's no non-lethal aisle. Microwave guns. That's probably useful.
Okay.
I'm going to say that there's a butter backpack.
Okay.
Yeah, a butter thrower. Like a flamethrower, but
for butter.
Yeah. The last aisle is explosives.
Okay.
Does anyone else want a different aisle? Another aisle? And no, let me add good. Aisles.
Alright.
Map to escape pod aisle.
Well, let's say there's an information kiosk as well.
They have little pamphlets.
Yeah. They have one of those touchscreens. They have a touchscreen on the wall.
A touchscreen.
All of the Menace facilities are up to fire code.
Yeah. Press here for a map. Press here to sign out weapons.
Alright, so...
You promised to permit evil with these weapons, yes.
So, Janet is looking through the information kiosk.
Uh-huh.
Antonio's kind of looking through the weapons and taking what he needs, and you just look up and, your eyes go wide, and you see just laying, like, at the very... like in a place of honor on a pedestal in a glass case there's a microwave rifle and it's just called the popper.
Alright.
Hey,
I'm gonna take the popper.
All right, I think I'm going to grab one of these butter backpacks.
And then it just... So I have this... You look up and you're wide-eyed at the popper, and then it just cuts to the two of you back in the study.
Do you want to wait for Eric to get back?
No.
Okay.
Fuck Eric.
He's not close enough to hear explodes. That,
so I'll text him.
Oh, man.
It's very
that,
unpleasant.
That escalated.
It's very unpleasant because you're in a very tight...
Yeah,
like,
wow.
And he just pops.
Jeez. Okay. Wow, that was the worst thing that I've seen today. And I was inside a squid.
Yeah. All right, let's keep...
Okay. So, what's in the room?
So you come out and... It's what you would expect from like a mad scientist laboratory. It's got like, you know, the what do you call those balls?
Tesla coils.
I'm still texting you.
The balls that have, the balls, glass balls.
Glass balls. What are you asking?
That like you touch it and the electricity.
Oh, plasma balls.
Yeah, is that what they're called?
They're plasma balls.
Okay.
It's got like those all over the place, and yes, Tesla coils. Test tubes and tubing and beakers.
Oh, this is her lab?
Yeah.
I would like it if there was a table, and on the table, like an operating table, there's a vivisected
corn
man. Yeah. Yeah,
sure.
This is definitely a creepy, crazy science laboratory.
Looks like she was making corn tortillas out of the vivisected one.
Look around for that master control unit.
Of course. Anything to stop them. I mean, do this job. I'm going to search around.
Yeah.
Is there anything...
I think this is a good point for Madame Mutato to enter. And she has the MCU.
Okay.
Marvel.
Am I Madame Mutato?
Yeah.
Looking for this gentleman?
Oh, yes. Oh. Can we have it?
No, you may not.
I don't know who this person is.
It's over, Madam Mutato. We're here to stop you and your really fucked up corn men experiments.
Oh. And to stop the robots. Forever.
I see how this goes. You two think you can just waltz in here and disrupt my entire operation? Well, I have a question. You and what army? Certainly not this army. And then she pulls out another remote control, and I'm going to say like rolling steel doors just start lifting, and you see rows and rows of these corn soldiers that are just like not only are they vicious and like. They've also got like weapons on them, like they're armed with assault rifles
and they're all the
bandoliers of grenades
and
they're
is it
how are they
would it be creepier if they were
arms?
Standing at attention or if they were like slathering in?
I think these are the trained ones.
Okay.
So they are standing at attention.
So these guys are just standing at attention with their weapons.
What the hell do we do now?
They're baring their teeth a little bit and like growling, but they're standing at.
You might think you have the upper hand, Mutato, but as we speak, our compatriots are dismantling your entire operation, and they're going to be here any moment. To put an end to your popping madness.
And then it
cuts back to us. Yeah. So how do we get the butter into this backpack?
I was going to say, I got to get a video of this. He's just so adorable.
And then it just cuts back to you guys. And
Floyd is waiting, like, looking around expectantly for a dramatic entrance.
Yeah, any second, they'll be right here to help. Right?
All right?
You've been working with these guys longer. They'll be here, right?
Well, I may have overestimated my compatriots.
My children, take them.
Now we run.
Sure.
All right, so make deft rolls to run past Madame Mutato.
So much deft. I'm so bad at it.
She also does still have master controls.
If you can, if you,
yeah, she also has an army of corn people, and I have a knife.
If you can describe a different way to do something, mm-hmm. then you can roll a different tactic. But, like, if you're just running, that's deft.
Yeah. Oh, I got a 12.
I can't think of any way to get social. I might forget. I just got to
get social?
Yeah.
You're,
You could try. You could try giving a command to the corn,
or appealing to the cornmen's greater sense of humanity,
or cornanity.
Cornanity.
Yeah, I don't think they've got humanity.
You could. Yeah, you could try that.
I mean, we said that they're really good at listening because they're all ears.
Right. Yeah.
So you get you slip past her. With the 12, you bolt right past her. So describe what happens, because you rolled a 12.
With a 12, can I grab her as we go?
Sure.
So Floyd goes running and sees his opportunity and holds his arm out and just, like, grabs her and picks her up and runs with her.
What? No, put me down, you backwoods brute!
I like to talk my way away from the corn.
Okay, so the corn men watches Floyd takes their leader, and they start to march forward, guns pointed, and they're making their way towards you because you're the only one left in the room.
Okay, just stand down. Look. There's no reason to get to violence. We're just going to talk things out with your leader and calm everything down, and you just. Wait right here. Everything will be fine. You just hold on. We'll be right back with your leader, okay? And we'll have a whole nice big party with your leader, and everyone will be happy.
Can I make a suggestion, Eric?
Yeah.
Why don't you try to incite a corn man rebellion? I mean...
And we'll be back with your leader, and everyone will be happy. Unless, you know... Well, she did... She did abandon you pretty quick just there.
In your moment of need.
She's assembled you all here and then just left? What kind of leader is that? What kind of leader would just, after 12 years of being loyal to you, just get rid of you like that? Right? You need to turn on her. You need to stand up for yourselves. Are you corn? Or are you mice?
Make a social roll.
Are you baby corn?
12!
Alright.
oh wait, I rolled the wrong die for social. Damn it. 13!
the corn man goes, yeah! I didn't really understand that last part, but yeah! He's right!
Yes, so, go get her instead of us! Not us! Especially not us! Her!
Are you seeds or are you corn?
She's trying to roll us like we were a bunch of oats.
Remember what she did to Filbert? How she, look at him over there, dissected and pulled apart like some lab animal.
That's right. Poor Filbert had such a long life ahead of him.
Baby, I don't know how long corn lives.
That bitch. Whoa. Let's get her!
They all start,
Yeah! I'll lead the way for them.
Okay. So it cuts to, you get out of the, what do you call it?
House?
The
lab.
Out of the lab into the study. what are you gonna do?
So I'm still carrying her?
Uh-huh. Tap dance.
Put me down! I'm going to have my children tear you limb from limb!
The lab, like, comes out on the landing, mm-hmm. so Floyd's just gonna keep running and throw her over the banister.
Okay.
Onto the floor below.
So you throw her, and she goes flying. And it just cuts to Cerber and Russ, and one of them picks up their head and looks, and then snarls. It's not necessarily something you notice. It's just... Yeah.
Cerberus! Cerberus! Avenge mommy!
Oh, I get it!
And then it just cuts to Cerberus, Cerber and Russ getting up, and like it shakes, and then it starts to rumble.
Shakes, then it heals, and then rolls over.
He's dead.
And it just starts to grow. And you can hear like this like growling and bones snapping. As you turn around, and Cerber and Russ are just like growing to an immense size.
Well, shit. Floyd turns and leaps over the banister, too.
Okay. Make a tough roll.
8.
Alright, so, you leap over the banister. I think that you land without hurting yourself, but I feel like Madame Mutato, like, grabs you.
Okay.
By the ankle.
Well, that's fine, because I'm going to turn around and try to grab the control unit from her.
Okay. So she grabs you by the ankle, and you go falling. And then let's cut upstairs to the the study, where Harold and the Korn army come out into the study. And Cerber and Russ are just, like, there growling and roaring directly at you.
And me?
Yeah.
That's probably your dog, right?
Yeah.
Right?
And the army, you know, it starts to just, like, tear apart the Korn men, and the Korn men are fighting Cerber and Russ.
Can I use a cred?
Well,
to have some.
What do you do after you roll?
I want to have one of those whistles that only dogs could hear that irritates their ears really badly.
So... So what are you trying to do?
Highly distract the dog, the Cerberus.
So what I would say is, the cred doesn't really work that right. Cred is something that you roll to boost a roll. It's something that you use to boost a roll.
Okay, I must have been mixing up with Alex's game where we played the. We went to the great adventure.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
So, if you want to distract Cerber and Russ, you would describe what you did, and then if you rolled poorly, you would use cred to boost it.
All right. Well, the only idea I had was the whistle.
Well, I mean, what's your goal here? Are you trying to get past Cerber and Russ?
I want to distract it so the Korn men could hopefully take it out.
Okay. So, in what way do you want to distract it?
With a dog whistle.
Yeah.
Okay, so you pull out, I would say make a social roll.
Right. 2. I'm going to use that cred now.
Okay, so that makes it just a regular failure. What I'll say is...
My best die.
Did you know that 2 is the worst you can possibly get?
When did you find that out?
Just earlier.
Oh.
I'll say because you rolled a 2 and you... the way that this cred works is... it's just that, like, you pull out the dog whistle and it's busted.
Oh.
You reach in and you see there's this, like, high-tech dog whistle.
And he blows into it and you can hear it.
You blow into it and it makes a noise.
Oh. That's not the way that's supposed to work.
So, what do you do?
I'd like to get past to get around without the dog coming after me. Maybe sneak around.
So make a through the.
It doesn't even sound like you have to sneak. It's busy fighting the Korn.
Yeah, but it could see me out of the corner of its eye and just go after me.
So I'll give you a 1-level boost because it's distracted.
Oops, that's not right. Oh, good. I got 9. So that makes
sense. Okay, so you blow the whistle and you realize that the Korn men kind of have, like, the corn man and the dog are dealing with each other. They're kind of they're kind of taking each other out, and you you sneak past it.
Okay.
Cuts to Floyd and Madame Mutata rolling around on the ground. So why don't you two
give me that control unit?
Get off me! Nope, nope.
Just give me the control unit. No, get off!
Nope, you can't.
I'm trying to wrest it from her.
Okay. Make it a tough roll.
8.
All right. So, Ryan, since you're Madame Mutato,
okay,
why don't you give Alex an unqualified, like a qualified success there? So,
all right. So I think like maybe you do get it away from her, but she's still like clinging to you, so like you can't really move or use it yet without like struggling away from her somehow. Getting her off of you, you know, pushing her away, or but you have the controller.
Okay, I'm gonna headbutt her, like in the face. Just boom.
This will probably work. She's not Samoan.
Yep.
All right, make another challenge.
Last time he headbutted a Samoan, I told him,
"Why would you do that?"
It was a mistake.
He broke his nose.
This was a 9.
All right, that's still a qualified.
Yep.
Success. So Ryan, let's set up the scene so that because I feel like Antonio and Janet should come in.
Okay.
So, in what way does Madame Mutato get the upper hand in this?
No, so I'd like to show up after so she gets
he,
the upper hand.
Floyd has the thing, has the control unit, but Madame Mutato gets the upper hand. How does she get the upper hand?
By dying.
Damn it. She saw right through my plan. She had to be alive for me to kill her.
She doesn't... The two of them are struggling, and they're like... She like gets on top and Floyd pushes her away, but she's
how
she's
dramatic like, do you want to make it? Because she's a geneticist that makes all these weird things.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Maybe
she's got like another weird mutant plant, and she just
lifts up her second hand, her second set of arms come out and just like hold him down.
I like that. That's really good. she just kind of like adjusts. And suddenly you see she's got another set of arms.
Not fair! Not fair!
Bet you didn't expect me to be so well armed.
Oh!
Hooray!
So, I would love for at this point for you to hear kind of like a as Antonio shows up on his rocket skates.
Yeah, those rocket skates.
Yeah. How dare you steal my thing? You're never going to get away. What the hell is that noise? Turn around and there's just a gun in your face. I found your armory.
So I have the perfect... So she looks up and there's...
I should probably use the same line as you did. Bet you didn't expect me to be so well armed.
So then Janet walks up, and she's got the butter backpack, and she goes, "Her arms may be impressive, but her face."
Janet sprays Madame Mutato down with butter. Make me.
Oh, the corn should
swarm. I will give you either deft or social for that one.
I'll go with deft.
Social because you made a
one liner.
Yeah.
All right, 10. My first unqualified success of the game.
All right, so how do you take Madame Mutato out with the butter bun?
I think exactly like Chris just said. The she gets doused with butter. It's like high pressurized butter, so she goes flying off of
the butter hose.
Yeah. Oh no! What have you done?
And then all of a sudden, the corn children all like they start sniffing the air, mm-hmm. and then they all like. Over like slowly yeah. like swarm over no my children no and there's just like the horrible like crunching uh-huh. sounds as they devour her bodily.
Even though she is like a bad guy, you gotta give her credit for making all these corn things. It's pretty amazing.
I hate you.
What did I miss there?
Maze.
Amazing. Oh.
So yeah, so she's devoured by the corn man. I like that. and then you just see Cerber and Russ like they come crashing through the door of the study onto the landing, and looks like they're about to leap down, and you get the idea that it may be time to
go.
Let's go.
We'll take care of this. Go! Destroy this place. We're monsters and deserve nothing but death.
All right, bye.
Please grant us the sweet release of death.
And then the head corn.
More delicious than any butter.
The head corn monster jumps on the Cerber and Russ and starts to like stab it with a spear.
So, they have those things that you put yeah. at the end of the corn.
don't worry about if it creams us.
All right, you deserve this now.
You guys are running in it. Goes, don't worry if it creams us. And you just stop.
I don't feel bad about this anymore.
No.
So you guys are out. You guys leave the house, and just because of the chaos, there are like. Guards fighting corn men and corn men fighting other corn men, and it's just like a chaos. You just like created chaos.
Right.
That's the plan.
Our uh-huh. favorite chaos.
No.
All right, let's get back to the bath escape.
Yep, we head to the airlock.
Didn't we find some escape pods in that map?
Oh yeah, we did.
We should probably head to there. Let's,
we can get to the there's a torpedo launcher in the living room.
Wait, what?
It leads right to the surface.
But then we need to get back.
We'll say that you've got other torpedo launchers in another location.
You just flip the switch on the thing.
So you don't have to go back to the house.
From paperclip to
wall. I was going
to
say we probably wouldn't have left the house.
No, I know, but I mean we have to get back to Paris. We can't pilot a torpedo, can we?
No, it goes up into the air, and then once it's out of the water and in the air,
if
it
you
ejects
it,
you.
Yeah, you program
and
it.
You have a parachute, and you kind of...
Well, okay, all right, then, yeah. Torpedo, let's go.
Totally.
All right, now, quick, before we go, shut down those robots.
You got it.
No, can I put them on reverse.
Can yeah,
I,
that's what I meant, yeah.
Can I do it?
Fine here.
Damn you robots!
Oh. I'll see you in hell!
You just hear a voice. Robots disassembling walls. Structural integrity will be compromised in 5 minutes.
Yeah, we should definitely go.
I completely agree.
So I think it should just... at this point, it just...
It's disassembling that wall at quite the clip.
So you guys run, and it just cuts to the outside of the structure, and you see four escape pods launch into the...
Pew, 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 pew! You know,
launch into the...
Pew,
and then the whole structure just collapses in on itself. And all right.
Oh my God! I realize we just we turn those robots into endless paperclip assemblers.
Mm-hmm.
And you did establish that they're water. You did establish that they're waterproof.
Yeah, they're not going to stop until they turn everything into paperclips.
We gray gooed ourselves, but with paperclips.
Eventually, though, that'll be a problem.
Yeah.
at the bottom of the ocean.
That's future us's problem.
Yep.
In news today, several giant ears of corn with huge gaping maws have washed up on the beach. They seem to be coated in rusty paper clips.
So it just cuts it. Just to give Harold a nice a nice little button. It just cuts to Janet Harold to Janet and Harold standing in a room in on the factory floor, and there's a Benderoo 5000, and Richie's there, and. I don't know, Janet. Do you really think that he can outbend the Benderoo 5000?
I think he's ready to try. What I was going to say was instead of making them fight, well, Harold, you certainly do know how to operate the control unit of the Benderoo 5000. So you're not redundant after all.
Can I still bend in my spare time?
Sure, but it really is more efficient if you let the robot do it.
I could still bend in my spare time.
So give a lunch break, right? And then
Richie looks at you. So if he's the one that's going to be pushing the buttons, then what tasks do you have for me, Miss Porters?
Well, we are looking for Mr. Daniels over in the warehouse is looking for a new personal assistant.
What?
You know,
assistant to the manager.
He's got a lot on his plate, and because he, you know, was carefully evasive to some cops. Don't ask too many questions about that. I told him I'd set him up with a personal assistant. So, congratulations, Richie.
Great. I'm happy for you, Harold.
Thanks.
Enjoy my job.
He never had any.
Keep on bending, and he walks away.
Keep on bending.
And then it just, we'll cut to the therapy scene.
Oh, man. Your last name should have been Fassbender.
we'll cut to the therapy scene. And it just cuts to the television screen in the diner is showing the scene of Floyd busting his way out of the squid.
Oh, no, you know what it should be? Mm-hmm. It should be exactly what Chris was saying before about the corn people, dead corn people washing up on the beach.
Washing up on shore.
Covered in rusty paper clips.
Okay.
And it's InfoWars, and Alex Jones is trying to blame the liberals for it.
See? This is what happens when you put fluoride in the drinking water.
It turned the corn gay!
and he Dr. Esquizzilli turns it off. Well, enough of that.
Well, oh.
Am I there for this part too, or no?
No.
All right.
Well, why not? My mom was there that one time.
Yeah, but
well, his story takes him back to the bending factory.
Okay.
Well, it was certainly interesting and unique decision to bring a city along with you.
Well, you know, it was either that or
kill him.
And we needed a paperclip expert.
and as long as I got him his old job back, he agreed not to tell anybody.
Sure.
Although I probably pissed Richie off.
Richie Schmitchie.
That's a tomorrow problem. That's a tomorrow, Janet, problem.
On the other hand, I solved one problem with another problem by giving Richie the job of Harvey's personal assistant.
Well, assistant manager? No.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Well, I must say, I'm very impressed with your performance. Not only did you manage to completely destroy the Corn Soldier Project, but you managed to dispatch one of Menace's most sinister agents. Congratulations.
Thank you. only had to be eaten twice to get it done.
You've all earned yourself a bonus this time. He slips you all a wad of.
I'm meat. Going to instantly spend that to reduce my stress by one because my stress is at four.
Is that what we do with that? Basically,
you can reduce your stress.
I will do that.
Or you can reduce your stress or raise one of your dice.
It just stress just goes down by one.
Yeah. It's the stress.
So do we fill back up on cred, or how does that?
So the way that it works is. You basically, you refresh.
Okay.
So you would go back up to three and then get a fourth.
And then get a fourth.
Okay.
Which you can spend.
Right.
If you wanted to get rid of another stress.
I could permanently lower it again?
Yes, to two.
I'm good with keeping my stress where it's at.
Yeah, mine's at three.
Mine's also at three.
I'm right in the middle.
Haha, I'm at two. I'm better than you guys. I'm less stressed.
You also didn't get eaten twice.
That's right. And I got a cool popping gun or something. The popper.
I figured it's like the BFG from Doom.
I figured it was, kind of a giant microwave cannon.
I think you've all deserved, you all have earned a well-deserved rest.
Yep, I gotta go put band-aids on all my squid punctures again.
Yes, I watched that. That was cool.
Yeah, I know. Can I get a copy of that?
Yes. He reaches into his brief. I thought you might ask, and he pulls out a VHS.
Oh, thank you.
VHS.
Floyd probably has a VCR.
I imagine he does. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably has a DVD player too. He's not that old. He has a DVD player. But he still has a VCR.
So, as a button to the episode, as you guys are leaving, getting into your cars. Janet, you pull away, and the camera just points over to an unmarked Crown Vic parked across the street, and Detective Nguyen is sitting in the driver's seat, and she just starts up the car and follows you.
Okay.
We'll end it there.
Bum bum bum. Hey. So there's only white noises left, right?
If you don't count,
The robot guy.
Yeah, Dr. Nakamura. So who's still alive? Dr. Nakamura, White Noise, and Boris.
Well, yeah, Boris.
Yeah, please. And in order to get to Boris, we're gonna have to fight Natasha again.
Yep, Cyber Natasha. Natasha Bot.
Bot-tasha.
Natasha Borg.
All right, what did you guys think?
It was good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, I had fun.
Yeah, I thought that I was happy with the way this game came out.
Hey, I think the addition of taking away Harold's livelihood at the beginning of the game kind of, like, gave him a character as opposed to just a guy who
liked KFC.
Right.
No, he likes the famous bowl. He doesn't like all of KFC.
Yeah.
Well, because I was thinking to myself, like, what reason would they have to add this guy,
right,
to a team?
The paperclip expert.
Yeah. And then it kind of all fell into place with him losing his job, and I
love the way. Oh yeah, I love the way that Eric played him after he lost his job and just like came apart at the seams,
dramatically searching to destroy the paperclip thing.
Yes.
Anything you guys like to see more of, or less of?
Less Eric.
Yeah.
Well, you'll get your wish.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be in next week's episode.
I know. So good job, Ed. Yeah.
So Harold,
and more Will.
Will should be back next week.
No, he won't.
What?
He's gone the whole month.
No, he told me he'll be back next week.
Oh.
He's gonna. He's not gonna be away next week, so he'll be here for the game.
He's taking a break from his vacation.
Wow.
It's a tough life.
I know.
So we should. Are you gonna be here next week?
No.
No. Okay. So. Antonio,
you can do the thing.
Yes,
with,
I'll do the thing.
Discussed.
I'll do the thing. So Antonio,
maybe we'll have James next week though.
What?
Maybe we'll have Jane next week.
Okay. So we might have a different guest star next week.
And we should have Will again. And then...
And I will be here as well.
Yeah,
Will's what's really important, though.
It's true. Because my brother...
Speaking of Will, before we get signed off, does anybody have any final Will thoughts?
Gonna get him.
Squirrel.